Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Bill's had a busy night.
Has he? Why's that?
He's been working on the air conditioner here. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Ass Breath and all the ships at sea. And now, the official spokesman for Joe Artinger's No No Cafe, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah!
And thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide via the Westwood One Radio Network.
Woohoo!
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, that's why we call it. Very clever name. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we're not dopes.
Coming to you from our flagship radio station, WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C. Every day, carried throughout the airwaves via Westwood 1 to 55 affiliate stations throughout America. Starting next week, make that 56.
Yeah, big number 56.
And even without New York City, every day we have 6 million Arbitron-rated listeners who admit to the ratings company they listen to this show, and for that, we say thank you.
That's a number that's growing.
Of course, no thanks to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim. Here he is, my left, and to your right, I'm wearing something from the Castro collection today.
You got it. You get the prize with that one.
Here is the very militant Buzz Burbank. Would you go to Sunny Surplus or something?
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. No.
You know, I'd like to think of myself as the biggest pacifist on this show, but truth be known, you're a bigger pacifist than me.
That's true.
I will strap on a gun to defend my rights before you will. Yeah, look at you. You are really dressed like real-life G.I. Joe with hair and beard today.
Yes, but I mock the military establishment with my wardrobe.
Yeah,
it's nice to know in the first 8 seconds of the show that you're on. You know, that when you say Castro. That is the Castro.
Well, look at him.
That's
though.
The perfect description of what you're wearing.
Thank you.
You know, I was looking over there. I knew it was military. I knew it was not the usual khakis that you wear. And the Castro collection is the definitive description of
it. I've got it all. I've got everything he owns, I own.
Che Guevara, whoever that guy was. You know?
Today is Friday, February 25th.
Yeah, almost over February.
And it will be the mark.
Yes.
We will take your telephone calls in a second, so you can call Toya right now.
Mm.
Oh, Toya, who's going to be put under the bright lights today, and she's going to get her full indoctrination into the show, and she's going to take a sex quiz today.
Ah, very good.
Toya, the lovely Toya, standing by to answer your telephone calls at 1-877-365-3636. I promise we'll take your calls in just a second. I have something that I want to bring up to everybody calling in today, so stand by for that. But first, let's set up a story.
A story!
A story. We love doing this on Fridays to give away big, valuable prizes and to reward you guys, the people who are listening to the show, right now.
Right now.
The people who are listening right now are the only people who have a chance to win today's grand prize, which is a free vacation to Las Vegas.
That's a great prize.
To see Trinidad versus Reed, a big old boxing match. This is from Comcast and Cox Cable.
Go out and enjoy the new Las Vegas.
So what we're going to do, and it's at a nice hotel. It's at Caesar's Palace, for goodness sakes. That's where we'll be staying.
One of the great ones.
So what we ask you to do is get out a pencil and a piece of paper.
As we are.
And we are going to write down a story. And throughout the show, at various times, I mean, during the middle of the bits, during the middle of the interviews, in the middle of the news, we'll just stop and we'll say, okay, we're going to add 3 more words to the story.
Very good.
By the end of the show, 4 hours from now, we'll have a completed tale. And most times, a very true-to-life autobiography about somebody who you've heard on the show.
It's marvelous.
If you have all of the words that make the story in the correct order, boom, you win the vacation to Vegas.
We reward loyalty on this show.
So you got to listen to all 4 hours to get the whole story, and I'll help everybody out. Here's the first sentence.
First sentence coming up.
Big Gum Jim left the studio after his birthday show to T.O. Big Gum Jim left the studio after his birthday show to... Okay, so that's the first line. Big Gum Jim left the studio after his birthday show too, and then it begins.
Very good.
And I'll give you the first extra word. Everybody got the first sentence down?
Mm-hmm.
Big Gum Jim left the studio after his birthday show too. Clean. Mike or Buzz? Buzzy, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll jump in with his.
His.
Set Mike up with something here.
Okay.
Okay, Mike.
The third word would be swollen.
Good word.
Thank you.
So, this is just for you people listening right now. You've got the upper hand. The first line of the story is, Big Gum Jim left the studio after his birthday show to clean his swollen dot, dot, dot.
We'll still dot, win. Dot, dot.
Dot, 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 eat my Luger. We will continue with this story throughout today's show. End up writing what, in essence, is a biography of Big Gum Jim yesterday after his birthday show.
That'll be marvelous.
And you call when we ask you to at the end of the show, and boom, you win the trip to Las Vegas.
Excellent.
Now, we will be dissecting the Kathy C. Gifford Dave Letterman show appearance on today's show. We're going to do that in just a second.
Yes, with her fan club audience.
Also need some help. Here's where I need some help on the telephones. I have this ridiculous fantasy draft that I'm entering into with my buddies tomorrow.
Okay.
The stock fantasy draft.
Right. Uh-huh.
I'm totally unprepared for this. It's like the fantasy football leagues that we've been in.
How many stocks, have they at least told you how many stocks you're going to have to list to be prepared? How many stocks you should have in
your... You should have every stock that is available off the New York Stock Exchange.
So everything in the back of the business section of the newspaper.
Right.
Which is, that's...
I'm screwed.
Pretty... That's like impossible.
I found out of 10 guys, there are 10 guys in the draft, and there are going to be 10 rounds, so there's going to be a total of 100 stocks taken.
All right.
They've already had a random drawing. I get the third pick in the draft. I'll be picking third.
You know what makes this difficult? Because even if you get what is known as a... good stock. A good stock is known as a good stock because it's been performing well.
And what you want is a stock that
is a coming stock.
Will, yes, absolutely, be on the come.
Right.
A stock that goes up because every week they do it just like fantasy football.
I think we're going to get probably a lot of stock tips today, you know. And I'd like to forewarn the listening audience. When you hear these people calling, you know, don't consider that gospel truth.
Oh, and I'm not. That's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
All I want is the biggest. And here's what I'm thinking with the third pick. I might take Yahoo, IBM, Qualcomm, Amazon.com, or because I'm such a homer, CBS.
Well, CBS is a good stock. Right?
Those are the five that I've earmarked. If you know of one that would be better to take in the number three spot in the overall fantasy stock market draft, which is absolutely the most pathetic thing in my life that I've ever committed to, give us a call and just let me know what the biggest stocks
are. Excellent. That's good.
And I reserve the right to throw a stock away if I just don't like it.
Buzz, do you have a recommendation for Don?
Not offhand. I think he had a pretty good list there. And again, you know, you're looking for something that will grow beyond where it already is.
For instance, I'm not going to go with General Motors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm just not.
Like that.
I'm not because I know the quality of General Motors.
Hey!
I'm sorry.
Hey!
I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. The Japs.
Hey! Wow!
The Japs, the Swedes, the Germans. They all build great automobiles.
Yes, great cars. But when you're talking about trucks,
Mike, I have...
And police cars.
I happen to have a couple of Toyota trucks.
Yeah, I know you do.
You know I do. And I happen to know that in one of the nearby suburbs, the cops drive Volvos.
Yeah.
They do. Yes, yes, Brian.
Is there anything more ridiculous than a cop in a Volvo? I mean, really.
Right.
I am not going to buy GM. Just on my basic hatred of General Motors, I'm not going to buy them.
Sorry. You'll like this, Rob. There is one thing more ridiculous.
What's that?
A cop in a Ford!
Yeah! Stupid underpowered Crown Vic. Poor bastard.
Rob and I are Chevy lovers.
Chevy lovers.
For a while.
So I'm not going to buy General Motors.
Good.
I'm also not going to buy Disney.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I don't like Disney either.
Okay.
And there's four or five companies off the top of my head that are real big companies that I just won't buy because I don't like the companies. It's like in fantasy football.
Right.
I only pick players who I like.
Right.
Guys who, not even guys who I think have a chance to be great, but guys who I like. I'm going to do it the exact same way in this fantasy draft.
You mentioned one stock on your list that I think could be a good stock.
Which was that?
Big Blue. I've always liked that
name. I don't think you can go wrong with IBM.
No, well, they're old, they're new, they're an old company that's in that new business, which is, to me, makes sense.
Somebody told me they thought IBM might be the number one overall pick.
That you could be right about that.
Could be, but I'm the third pick. Very advantageous.
Now, do you get points if the stock splits? Do you get like,
yes.
Mean, even though lots of times, you know, people take a stock split your W.
No,
that doesn't happen. You just get more stock.
In fantasy, if the stock splits,
right.
If they have an IPO or something like that, you get more points.
Mm-hmm.
If the stock starts to blow up, then you really get more points. And every single week, every Friday, for the next 10 weeks, I'll come in and I'll give you the list,
okay.
Computer printout of who's the winner and who's the loser for the week.
Good.
They do it just like it's some kind of ridiculous rotisserie league.
That's very cool.
This is the lamest thing I've ever done.
Hey, I got one for you, really. And this is a local stock, but I think it could be a comer.
Who?
You know, everybody's got to make, new additions for their house and buy new stuff.
Of course.
Heckingers.
Okay. Hello.
There you go.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, baby.
First off, I don't read the Washington Post, so...
Good, good for you. I'm not buying stock in them either, incidentally.
Good.
I know, but I didn't know the man's last name wasn't Ahern. And I called there today.
You call them Ahern?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That is simply our technique to work the guy. We call him Ahern's just to... I don't even know the real, but I think it's probably Ahern's.
Yes, the real pronunciation of the radio reporter for the Post name, his name is Ahern's, but it's funnier to call him Frank Ahern.
I have it on tape. I have it on my voicemail, what I said, but when he said Ahern's, I didn't know it was him, so I kind of was like, huh?
You taped a conversation. What did you call him about?
Do you want to hear it?
Tell me what you called him about. Tell me what you called him about.
I called him and asked him why he wasn't, you know, mentioning you guys about going to New York. And you have to hear it. Even if it's off air, you have to listen to it.
Well, throw it on. What the hell?
You want to hear it?
Okay.
What the hell?
Hold on.
This is a guy.
What the hell?
This is a dumb idea.
Hold on, no.
I never say that. This is a dumb... I could almost think it, you know. This is a guy that if we do this, I just know what's going to happen.
Why? Come on.
Okay, I just know what's going to... I had to put you on hold because I had to put you on three-way with my answering machine.
All right, well, hold on.
Hold on.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. I never
say that. This is the problem. I just want to do a goddamn radio show.
Right.
I just want to do a radio show.
Right.
This girl calls us.
Yes.
She plays a tape of a conversation. Let me ask you. Did you tell Frank Ahern you were recording this conversation?
She's gone.
Hello?
Hello? She's doing a three-way switching.
I believe the rule is if she told him it was being recorded, then it would be okay. I think.
Okay, here it is.
Hold on.
No, the rule would be if you told him it was being recorded.
Honey, hold on. Stop the tape.
Hold it. Stop the tape
for a minute.
Hi, Annie.
Hold it.
Stop it.
Okay.
Hello, stop the tape.
I did.
Okay. Did you tell him it was being recorded?
Well, he found out at the end when it said recording is done.
What did he say?
I don't know. I got embarrassed and hung up.
Yeah, but you know what? This is why I just want to say once and for all, when I am made king, I'm going to do two things.
What are you going
to
do?
First, all old people are not going to be able to drive. And second, I'm going to abolish the FCC and these ridiculous rules that they have. But there is an FCC rule that says you cannot play a phone conversation without the prior person's knowledge.
I just think under normal circumstances, it wouldn't be that big a deal. This is the kind of ween.
No, he's a dink. You're right.
Absolutely seize upon this.
You're right.
He would do that. I know that, you know, I mean,
most times when I do something that you think is a dumb idea, most times it ends up being a gold mine for the show.
Now,
but you could be right.
Fair. That's not fair.
You could be right legally.
You know, how often do I say that? Really? How often do I say that? I really don't. I don't say that a lot. But it's just, and it's not, has nothing to do with legality. It has everything to do with the guy we're talking about.
Well, then tell us what he said.
Well, he said, I called and I said, you know, I was calling. I called him Ahern's and he corrected me. And I said, are you the one who writes for you? He said, yes. He cut me off and said, yes, I write the radio column. I said, well, I'm calling about. And as soon as I said that, he said, please don't tell me you're calling about Don and Mike. And I said, well, yes, I am. And he said, and he laughed. He laughed when I said that. And I said, well, I want to know, you know, are you going to write anything about them, you know, going to New York for 2 days a week? He said, well, I write about them when there's something interesting. And I said, so are you going to write this? He said, I might in my next column. And then my machine said, recording too long. And I said, thanks, and hung up.
All right. Well, what a jag-off he is.
He is a jag.
He's a true, you know, that's not big enough news, like we've said a million different times.
Right.
That we're going to be on in New York City starting next week.
To be perfectly honest, it's old news right now. I mean, it is tense.
Splitting our time. They're going to be half the time in New York and half the time here.
Yeah, and he won't write anything.
No, he won't. But thank you for calling him, though.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for recording it. You know what? I'd like a copy. Could you send, hold on, I want you to send me a copy of the tape, though.
Okay.
I'd love to hear the weasel.
But it's on phone mail, so I have to send it just... through phone mail.
Yeah. All right, well, hold on. We'll give you some kind of voicemail that we have here.
Okay.
Hold on. And you called him Ahern's right to his face?
Yeah, I didn't know that wasn't his name. I thought it was his name.
Oh! That's terrific. And, you know, I bet he gets that all the time, too. Is this Frank Ahern's? You know, because somebody would say somebody doesn't read the column. That's funny.
And then as soon as you said, can I ask you a question, he stopped you and said...
Yeah, I'll put it through to whoever you want me to so you can hear it.
All right, hold on a second.
Okay.
He must get lots of calls from people who listen to the show.
And I bet he gets lots of calls calling him Frank Ahern, too.
It's work. Now, that's beautiful. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I got a stock tip for you.
Yes, sir.
Home Depot. It's done nothing but gone up since
then. Very, very solid company.
But is that a big enough stock to pick with a third overall pick in, the, in the stock fantasy
draft? I think
draft?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really popular company, and it's. They said, I was watching something about it the other day. They say it's going to be one of the, you know, it's smiting its competition. The aforementioned Heckingers.
Yeah, well, Heckingers is no more.
Right.
They're out of business.
Well, that's why, because you can thank Home Depot a lot for that.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don, just come talk about the Kathy Lee Gifford last night?
Yes, the Kathy Lee Gifford. What about the Kathy Lee Gifford?
Was it just me, or did her boobs look really big?
Listen, she's got gigantic jugs. I've told you that for a long time.
Bigger than I've ever seen.
Are they real, though, is what I'm wondering.
Yes, of course they're real.
They looked very large. I say she also looked lumpy in other places. She looked just plain lumpy.
Yeah, she had some bumps on her butt, I thought.
Horrible dress. Horrible dress. Yeah, when she turned and faced the camera with her butt, what was it, a special girdle she was wearing?
A little shake.
I think it might have been that microphone.
Yep, that's right.
That they hook up to the back of her dress.
Right, that's it.
I think she had a look that I would describe to, I described to my wife last night as just effed.
Yeah.
She looked to me like she had just, you know, she had the look of a woman who had just had a quickie, threw her dress on, ran out on stage, and said, you know, here I am. and what, just what a god-awful show it was.
Yes. You talk about hitting the wall. I believe she may have brushed the wall right before she came on stage, like in the Daytona 500.
And we're going to listen to the entire tape here, at least as much of it as we can stand. We're definitely going to listen to her sing that ridiculous song that she insisted on singing on the Regis show a couple of months ago about herself.
It's real nice to know that she gets her big gig on late night television and decides to use rehashed material.
I thought it was so jive that when they had a shot of the audience, it looked like they had bussed in people
they did
from like an old age home to be in the audience of the Letterman show. You know, normally
her fan club, if I'm going on what she said at the end of the show, she said these it was the singer that she brought on and Kathy half it was their fan clubs. That's those were the people.
I didn't see that part.
She said that at the very end. She said, we've got our fan clubs here. Yeah, we have to confess. And it made sense because I said, this is ludicrous. This is not a normal audience.
Why else would she be getting a standing ovation?
Oh, and everything, you know, everything she said. So funny, even the lame jokes.
Yes. And when they pan to the audience, how many old guys do they have wearing baseball caps in the audience? Like 60-year-old guys?
Maybe she just, took the audience from Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, got them all drunk, and bust them over to the, the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Oh, and that was the best dynamic of all, watching the Regis show today.
Oh, boy, this is great. You were telling me about it.
I turned it on at 9 o'clock this morning. Turned off the news, turned on Regis, because I knew that's what they talk about. And, you know, I'll say this for Regis and Kathy Lee. As much as we hate Kathy C. Gifford, and as much as we think Regis is just an idiot, you've got to admit that they both have pretty fantastic careers going.
Oh, yeah.
You would think at this point that they would be beyond the petty sniping, but they're not, and they're not even professional enough to hide it. They come on today, and you see Regis, he is clutching the sides of his chair when they come on the air. You know, good morning. It's February 25th. It's going to be warm in New York. And he looks at her and he goes, well, you did it.
Yeah.
You were great. And he said it in that real phony, patronizing way.
Right.
You were great. And then she had to go on and do her big soliloquy about how, you know, oh, blah, 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 it was great.
And he's hating every minute of it, right?
All the guests were great. And he's giving her that phony smile that,
yeah, fine.
Yeah, good.
Great, good for you.
Good, very good. And she kept going and he bit his tongue until 5 minutes into it when Regis says to her, well, that's great. You know, you wouldn't have had that gig, though, if I hadn't turned it down.
Oh.
Oh,
God.
And then she says, man. Oh, no. Oh, no. They asked me. It had nothing to do with you. And he goes, no. You wouldn't have had that gig if I hadn't turned it down. And she said, well, you couldn't do it anyway because you're so big, because ABC wouldn't let you do it because you have the Millionaire Show.
Oh, meow.
He said, well, no. Technically, you work for ABC, too.
Oh, they're starting to peck at one another.
ABC has no problem with me doing that show. It's just I'm too busy, so I turned it down, which is how you got off of the show. And she said, no, that's not how it happened, my Reed. And then she reaches over and pats him on the hand, and she says, and they asked me to come back and do it again.
Oh, that is. That's a volley right there. That's a salvo.
And then he perks up in his chair. He goes, really? They asked you back? When?
Oh, man, he's mad.
And she says, well, at some point in the future. So did they ask you back? Did they really ask you back?
Right.
She says, yes. He says, when? When are you doing it? when are you going back? And I'm watching them. I am watching two freaking millionaires
right.
on television, two people with the cushiest jobs in the world.
That are so totally insecure. Well, all performers are insecure, but they take it to new heights. Especially, you know, even, I got to give Regis, diss Regis a little bit here with, you know, Regis is top of the mountain right now. I mean, there's nobody hotter in show business.
But, you know,
than Regis.
He lives to suckle the Letterman teeth.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, here's Kathy Lee
yeah.
sitting in Letterman's goddamn chair.
Right.
And Regis has to lay in bed with his prune wife and watch it.
And one of the things I like about Regis is he just doesn't let it roll off. You know what I mean? He's way up there right now. He's sitting at the ABC throne, but he still will come down to Kathy Lee and fight with her like
so
that.
So they go back and forth. If anybody has a tape of this, call us. Now, this tape began playing on the radio.
I'd love to hear
that. Does anybody happen to tape the Regis and Kathy Lee show today? Because they're going back and forth, and he won't let her go on this. He says, did they really ask you back? And she says, yes. Who asked you? Rob Burnett, the producer, he said I could come back any time. Said they wanted me back. And at that point, Regis smugly looks at the camera.
Right.
And his face leads you to believe that he said, well, they said you can come back any time.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's move on. In the Daily News, Sammy the Bull he got off the topic of Kathy Lee on Letterman just like that.
They hate each other.
They go round and round. You know, and why these two are spatting at each other.
Right.
I don't know. They're lucky to have that television show
yeah.
where they do virtually nothing and get paid millions of dollars. Plus, he's the host of the other show. Plus, she's on Broadway, and she doesn't deserve that. And she's hosting the Letterman show.
I do not believe for one solitary second that you will see her back on that show.
No.
No.
No, it was absolutely surreal.
You can't bring in your fan club every night.
Turning on TV at 11:30 on Channel 9 and seeing Kathy Lee Gifford. And does anybody know, where was Paul Schaefer last night?
I asked you this question before, and I want to know, did anybody watch the Bill Cosby show? Was Paul Schaefer the band leader when Cosby hosted?
No, we thought you were the only one who watched Cosby hosting.
No, I didn't watch Cosby host, no. I was talking about the last Letterman show, the Wednesday night Letterman show.
I would bet
fantastic.
That Paul Schaefer was there.
I'd like to know, and I'd like to know the reason. I mean, has anybody addressed the reason why he wasn't there?
I hope because he hates Kathy Lee.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. You know, she did have her own queer band.
Yeah, she did, you know, the little Broadway trio or whatever.
I don't know why she needed that. David Letterman's band, it's a damn good, tight band.
Paul Schaefer can accompany anybody. He can do anything. He's proven. I mean, that's what he's done his whole career.
That's her piano player.
Her piano player?
Yeah, that's the one she had on.
Now she's George Burns.
That's the one she had on when she sang It Sells on the morning show, too.
Oh, ay, ay, ay.
And he did all the sound effects, the little ding when she does the
you know,
quotation.
If it's not a contractual thing where Paul Schaefer is not there when David Letterman's not there, I would love to know. If there was, you know, if there's any story there where, you know, I want my own guy.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was like this. Ah, Paul. Oh, man. Watch this, I hear you don't want to work with Kathy Lee.
David, she's just the worst. She's the queen bee.
Oh, she's a C word.
She is.
All right, tell you what, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Take the night off.
Oh, thanks, David. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Great. Okay. Does the rest of the band have to stay?
No. Yes.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
All right, but I don't want to look at her. I hate her guts.
Oh, man.
Yeah, thanks, David. Get well.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Did you see last night when Kathy was doing her little song and dance, some guy threw a bra down on stage, told her to put it on?
This was the most disappointing news that Don gave me today.
And I am sad to tell you that
very depressed.
That was not a stunt that was performed in advance with Kathy Lee.
I thought it was. I was almost certain it was.
That was a disc jockey from the station in New York
right.
that we're going to be starting on next week.
See,
I really thought it wasn't
planned out at all.
No, it was somebody trying to do like the stuff that we've done with Lewis before on the Letterman show and with Jerry Seinfeld.
And as I bite my lower lip as hard as I can, I have to give her props on that because she did field it to the extent where I thought it was a plant in the audience. That's how That's how
did a pretty good job
well she handled it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the song
all
is
right,
with that.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
But so I was so crestfallen when you told me that.
That was a DJ stunt.
Oh, that sucks.
That was,
you know, it was a lame DJ stunt.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, did you catch the faux pas, the major faux pas that Regis did on his Millionaire show when a guy named Will Durst, who is a comedian.
Yeah, I saw that.
Amazing. And not only was that amazing.
I know, hold on, I don't know what you're talking
right,
about.
Let me just tell Don what we're talking about here. There was a comedian, like a low-level comedian who's now a telemarketer, who was on the show, and he was playing for $500,000.
Will Durst was on the show?
No. Will Durst was the guy's lifeline. The guy does stand-up comedy part-time, and he knew Will Durst. He said, let's call Will. And so Regis dials the phone, and the guy goes, and on the other end, the guy picks up and goes, Durst. And Regis says, Durst? Durst, is Will there? And, yes, this is Will. Oh, Will. Okay, Durst. And Regis, you know, Will Durst, not a tremendously famous comedian, but famous enough.
I knew his name.
Right.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but I've heard the name before.
He wouldn't even acknowledge who the guy was. And then
they went to tape, you know, they went to commercial. They came back and Regis corrected his mistake.
Talk about not acknowledging him. There was even a question in reference to the Rat Pack, of which Joey Bishop was a member. If you remember, Regis Philbin was to Joey Bishop what Ed McMahon was to Johnny Carson for like 10 years.
What does that have to do with
Will Durst?
Because the same guy talked. One of the questions was, these four people were in what? And they said Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis.
Was that the question that he had?
No. You're off in a million different directions.
So that wasn't the question the guy called Will Durst about?
No, he called Will Durst about the video.
All right, hold on. I
hung up on
it. Will Durst, he called. The thing is, Will Durst screwed the guy totally because they called about the Michael Jackson video. Bad. Who directed it? And I screwed
was
up
it
the
Scorsese?
Same. It was Scorsese,
right?
And I thought it was John Landis. He directed Thriller, and I thought immediately that it was John Landis. So he calls the guy, and the guy immediately goes, "John Landis, you sure? Absolutely sure, 100%."
That's what Will Durst said.
Yeah, Will Durst. He was playing for $500,000.
Oh.
And then he went back. He had $250,000. He left the show with $36,000.
That's good.
So Durst, but then Regis comes back from a commercial and says, "Will Durst. Of course, we all know." The great famous comedian Will Durst, idiot Regis.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike, how are you?
Hey, sounds like Mike, the CP comic.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir. Hi, congratulations on New York.
Thank you, Mike.
That's great.
You've been to New York a few times, haven't you, Mike?
Yes, I grew up on Long Island.
All right.
I also want to thank you guys. Due to being on your show, I got in touch with Michael Lee. Robbie put me in touch with him, the blind comic.
You guys gonna tour together?
We're trying to do something.
Now that's a show.
That is a great
show. I will book you guys at one of our Las Vegas style shows if we have the CP comic and the blind comic.
Do you think there's a chance that you guys could work a two-man act out together?
Sure, because Michael told me he would tribal to open.
He would. Do you say tribal?
No, tribal. I'm sorry.
Tribal. Okay, I thought you said
tribal. Tribal, because we've heard of a guy out there whose name is Tribal.
And I was thinking, you know, if it was a guy with three testicles, that would actually be the blind comic, Mike the CP comic, and the guy with three testicles. That
tribal.
Would be, now, Mike, you got an act there.
Hey, Mike, have you guys thought about doing some kind of a knife throwing act?
Sure, but he would be throwing, I would be catching.
Well, if you come up with listen, I tell you what, I know a guy who's not very funny,
mm-hmm.
but if the thought is to get a guy who has some kind of physical limitation, our producer Charles Broyhill informed us before the show today that he has gout.
He has gout. You know, you think of Ben Franklin with gout.
Yes.
But our producer, the very athletic Charlie Broyhill,
has gout.
He has the gout.
Wow.
Hey, guys, I know you will, but again, just keep us in mind, because Mike and I also would love to bug people for you guys.
Oh, yeah. You know, gotcha. If you wanted to team up with the blind guy on the street, that's a thought. We're keeping you in mind about that. We really are.
We've got you written down. Mike, good luck, my friend.
Okay, have a great weekend. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Hi. Mike, the CP comic, everybody.
What he wants to do is do some man-on-the-street interviews and be teams up with his blind comedian. I mean, there's just no way people will walk away.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I was just wondering, when are you guys playing Celebrity Laugh Game again?
Soon.
Soon?
Yep.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, it's Rob.
Yes, Rob.
Calling to say that I thought you did a great job with Tom Arnold, and also, who was that freak that was just on a couple minutes ago?
What are you talking about? You talking about Mike the CP comic?
Yeah, what's up with him? What happened to him?
He has cerebral palsy.
Or what?
It's a little malady you might have heard of. It's called cerebral palsy.
He has CP. And as far as Kathy Lee, I thought Kathy Lee sucked. I thought that Tom Arnold saved Kathy Lee.
Yes.
I thought that Tom Arnold was quite good on the Letterman show last night.
He was super manic, and he was babbling on and on and on, and that's, he was. And the Joy Behar guest, I mean, she also did most of the talking, and she had her moments, too, as much as I hate to admit it, but,
what a cow she is, though.
You said Kathy Lee behind the desk, and that's right. When you see her sitting behind that Letterman desk,
yuck.
It's
like, welcome to hell. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. My name is DC Keeler. Who am I speaking with, please?
This is Don and Mike. Who
hey, Don and Mike.
To?
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Just want you to know I enjoy the show very much, but I have a question for you real quick.
Yes, why is it always we get these calls? I enjoy your show very much, but...
The question is... Why is Don always the one that has the final say in what happens?
Because someone has to make the decisions, and for 15 years it has been very, very successful having Don push the buttons and make the decisions.
Why does that bother you so?
Why does that disturb you so?
Mike has an opinion, Buzz has an opinion.
They are welcome to voice their opinions at any time.
Well, that might be the case, but it always seems to work out that Don...
Isn't that funny? That it works out that way.
Like, for example, I sit over here, but Don has the bank of phones in front of him, and he can control who gets on the air and who gets off the air. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Radio God.
Hi there.
Hey, you had asked for a stock quote?
Yes, sir.
Got one for you. It might not be a first rounder, but if it's there in the second round, definitely scoop it up. It's Ciena.
Ciena?
Yes.
What is it?
They're a tech. They're a .com. I don't know exactly.
That's the first one. I'm telling you, that's the first one where somebody. You happen to work for him at all?
No.
Are you a stockholder?
Do you get a tip on it or something from somebody?
Yeah, I invested in them about a month ago. They're up to 140 now. I got in at about 65 or so.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Nice return.
Then why don't you pull out and just take your money?
Well, I'm going to, but they keep going up, so why pull out?
All right, Ciena. All right, I'm not that proud. I don't know anything about the stock market. I might just take this guy's advice in the late rounds.
Yeah, I don't know that much about it either, but they're going through the roof and be a second rounder.
The stock market is a lot like irresponsible sexual activity. People say, if it feels so good, why pull out?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I almost went postal on you guys when I first heard you guys were going to tape delay. I drive two butts in my truck not to hear you guys live and get a chance to call you in. Now that Rockhead's gone, it's even easier to get in.
Yes, yes. Toya's wonderful. And we're not going to be tape delay. It's going to be live every day.
That's awesome news. Awesome news. Hey, a stock pick. I don't know about IBM. It's too much of a brick-and-mortar stock. You won't have the big growth as you would as some of the other high-tech stocks, as they say.
My first round pick, I want to get a solid performer that I know is not going to just fall apart on me one week.
I like
Yahoo game. And Qualcomm. You mentioned two of the ones that are, Yahoo just did a four-way split last month, and they're going to split again. So it's just, that's a good stock right there.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, can I tell you something?
What?
Hey. Yeah,
very nice.
What was that?
Another one I want to give you, another retail outlet. Very good one. Woodward and Lothrop.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I got a stock for you.
Yes, sir.
You ever hear of Berkshire Hathaway?
Is that Ms. Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies?
Money, Chief.
It's Warren Buffett's company.
Hello, Chief.
It trades at like $80,000 a share.
I saw a good one the other day where they dressed her up in a Girl Scout uniform.
Oh, that's a classic. With
Jethro was driving her around in a Jaguar for some reason.
She's some kind of troop leader, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Hi, Chief. Yes, sir.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call. Hello.
Hello, doll.
Hello.
It's me, the party girl from Mount Pilot. Oh, Bernie.
Oh, I know what he's trying to do. Do you remember the Andy of Mayberry episodes where there were these two girls from Mount Pilot who were always trying to hook up with Barney and Andy?
Skippy and Daphne, the fun girls.
Listen, that is, I'm sorry. Just like I said with Rob's Rockwell joke the other day, that's too far off the map.
Yeah, that's way far, far away.
Hello, Ernie.
Yeah.
Ernie.
I needed to check and find out. I'm going to be working out the cotillion for your Las Vegas style show, and need to find out what beverage of choice you guys needed out there. I'm going to be the gopher that night.
Sparkling water, sir.
Okay.
And just iced tea.
Okay. And
we will be in Wichita, incidentally, on March 17th at the cotillion, doing a live Las Vegas-style show in front of, they told me this place holds 3,000 people.
Right.
So we're looking for a big crowd. Friday, 4 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, whatever, check your calendar, March 17th.
I will tell you this, that Don likes to fizz up his sparkling water, and I like to mix my tea, so if you could just put a cocktail shaker back there, we'd appreciate that, too.
That would help.
I think I have, and I got a stock tip for you real quick.
Yes.
GE.
That's another one of the companies I won't buy.
Okay.
I won't. I just got something against GE.
So you go with your gut.
Mm-hmm. Just don't like GE.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the light bulbs.
That's right.
Okay.
I really don't. I don't like the way they run the NBC television network.
Okay, I know I've given you a couple of retails, but I just want to give you one that I think that, you know, the people, everybody's got to eat. Great restaurant stock. Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hello. Last call. Don and Mike.
Now that Arnold Schwarzenegger has pulled out, there's some great opportunity.
Hello.
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 I got a stock tip.
And not only that, Mike, I know you're joking, but man, the food's delicious at Planet Hollywood.
Oh, it sure is. And reasonable.
Oh, that guy had a stock tip and he just hung up.
All right. Damn. If you're looking for transportation stocks, there's always value, Jack.
I will I will noodle it through and let you know. I got to spend 5 hours tomorrow with these guys. I think it's going to take 5 hours because they're giving...
It's going to be a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C.
They are giving each guy 10 minutes to make each selection in the first round.
Well, you don't have to stay on the line the whole time, do you?
Yes. I'm going to be on a speakerphone.
You're going to be out of your mind. I'll be surprised if you stay with it.
I think what I'll probably do is stay through the first three rounds.
Right.
Then after that, I will just ask my buddy Bill. Mm-hmm. I'll say, just pick for me.
Yeah.
Just whatever. I don't know. Whatever comes up. I really don't care.
5 hours. I mean, even in a fantasy football draft, that's a long time.
And I think when we did our last fantasy draft last year, mm-hmm. we banged out the whole thing.
Less than 2 hours.
Yeah. With 12 guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
12 guys stocking a team with 15 each, but apparently this
5 hours.
This is a big deal to these guys.
Happy Saturday.
And they're all upset that I'm not coming over to enjoy, like, the port wine and the little cheese balls and stuff.
Well, it might be fun if they're all getting, looped over there, and then, towards the end of the day, I don't know.
Now, they're not our type of guys.
Really?
There's one guy who's a friend of mine, Bill. He's okay.
Right.
But he's like the ragamuffin of their group.
It's the land of the Poindexter?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all, nerds. Like, they wear bow ties on Saturday and stuff.
Oh.
They wear a tie with shorts.
Hi there.
Those are the type of guys they are.
In my knee.
This guy, Bill, who was telling me about the draft today, he was saying to me, said, have you gotten your new Sharper Image catalog? And I said, we get that crap in the mail all the time. We get every catalog in the world. I don't know. I don't know if we got it. He says, well, I just purchased the robot lawnmower.
Oh, yes. You can program it to do the lawn?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I went and I looked and we found the catalog, and it's on the cover of the catalog. He's got a picture of a guy in a hammock reading a newspaper and having a big glass of some chilled beverage.
Right.
While this little thing is supposedly going up and down and back and forth and cutting his grass for him.
I see carnage with that.
Yes. These are the types of fellows
mm-hmm.
who were getting involved in this fantasy draft.
Man.
This is what he was excited about because he said, you should come over for the draft because I'm going to bring over my robot lawnmower.
So after this is done, after the season's over, does the winner get a trip out to see BattleBox? Is that what it is?
This is for money.
For money.
This is a money league. You got to pay money to get in, and there's a cash payout every week. It works just like our fantasy football.
That's pretty cool. I think that's fun.
So I'll let you know on Monday the stocks that I pick and the stocks that I turned down. And I thank you for all the great advice. And I just might go with that Home Depot in the second round if there's
a good one. Home Depot, very good one.
Toe tapping, touch tones right there. Let's start today's show with a caller 100. And then we're jam-packed. Then after we get our caller for the game here, we got the Kathy Lee tape to listen to. We got Stossel. We got Bill Walton taking a sex quiz today.
Excellent.
We have Rudy Marsky. We got a brand-new low-budget Jeopardy for you.
Hey.
We're going to put Toya under the bright lights.
Yeah.
All of this happening on the Friday get-together, but first, caller 100 time.
All right.
Your chance to win up to 10 grand right now. Good luck. Call the aforementioned Toya.
Toya.
Telephone number 1-877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller. Good luck.
This is the...
No, I was right the first time. I don't understand you. Well, thank you, sir, whatever that was. I can't believe I paid for this guy to be here.
Just think, if that little German played his cards right,
yes,
he could have been throwing the broad Kathy Lee last night.
Absolutely.
If you're listening to the show in Anchorage, Alaska, it's 12 noon, and the radio station is KADX, Extreme FM at .94.7, Anchorage, Alaska.
Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre. Don and Mike.
We do. Caller 100 time right now.
Here we go.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Mike, caller 100.
Right, yes you are. What's your name?
This is Max.
Pardon me?
Max MacArthur.
Max?
Max,
M-A-X. Max? CB
what
ham
radio phone are you using?
Yeah, absolutely.
Down.
What? Over.
This is Max MacArthur. I'm calling in for tribute caller
100. It's a bad cell. It's a bad cell phone is what it is.
It sounds like he's on one of those, like, walkie-talkie deals where you have to press down to talk.
I mean, we get, like, better reception coming from the, you know, that Mars orbiter.
I'm on the cell phone.
Where?
The cell phone.
Thank you. Where are you calling from, Max?
Sacramento.
How come it just goes silent? How come we don't hear the background noise all the time?
Because I'm, like, in, like, some heavy traffic
by
an airport.
I think we got that.
All right, well, listen, your caller 100, if your cell phone will last long enough.
Okay.
You have won. Oh, this is weirding me out.
It's very strange.
You have won the Simpsons T-shirt. Celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Simpsons by watching the Simpsons on Fox.
Cool.
He said cool. You understood that.
No, no, I'm just waiting because there's, like, nothing.
I'm here.
Okay, all right. Oh,
voice activated.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, maybe you're right about that, Buzz. You will play for... Jeez, with such a cheap phone. How about you play for $3,000?
Oh!
Wow.
All right.
Over. I think we're also getting a little, you know, cranial delay as well here.
This is like talking to a guy playing a contest from Saudi Arabia or something, you know? It seems to have that two-second international delay to it.
Yes. As it does.
Over. Roger. Okay, $3,000 is the jackpot. We'll play you the secret celebrity laugh right now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Of course, the man.
The man. The goo man.
Goulet.
We wish you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
I don't mind telling you. I'm just goo-goo for Goulet.
You got it.
Gaga for Goulet. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting a rare treat. Mike is standing up to give us Goulet.
And the odds are in my favor.
And I believe we're going to have to get you to do that at our next Las Vegas-style show, too.
Yeah, okay, as long as I have plenty of iced tea.
No problem.
Very good.
And lots of nice spring water for me.
Yes.
Because that's what we enjoy when we go out and do our shows.
Keeps us fresh.
Iced tea and water.
Right.
Listen, my friend, who is that for 3,000 bucks?
Is it John Madden?
No.
Oh, weird. Oh.
I would have played it out a little longer, but I'm tired of the... It's like listening to Charlie Stossel with the tedious plot summaries here, with the big spaces in between. But thank you for listening, and don't forget that every guest is a clue for you.
Clue for you.
Hold on, please. We need three more words in the Big Gum Jim birthday story.
Let me see.
I'll give you the next word.
Number four.
Angry. Mike?
Diseased.
member.
Way to go, Buzz.
Hey, Buzz came to play today.
All right, your next three words are angry diseased member in the Big Gum Gym birthday story to win a free vacation to Las Vegas that we will give away on today's show. Now, right there.
That's a story in another zone.
We could have a complete biography,
yeah.
But we will wait. And,
that's a complete sentence right there.
We're going to keep it going throughout the entire show. Okay, just ahead of all of the features that we have for you on today's get-together, Kathy C. Gifford.
Yeah.
On the David Letterman show last night, it was a puke fest.
From New York, it's The Late Show with David Letterman. Dave gets host tonight is Kathy Lee Gifford.
And right here is where my eyes started bleeding.
No opening gag either.
Right. Yeah, right, she just came out.
Right.
Oh, wait, are you mean I didn't?
For the announcer. Who.
Right.
And now,
the biggest cunny in the world,
Lee Gifford!
That guy, that howdy doody announcer of Letterman.
And the Planet audience, which I knew, I mean, immediately you knew this was some sort of fan club. This is, on any of the late night shows, you don't get this kind of response unless it's your, you know, your super fan club.
Your people.
Your people, which she did with the Broadway show, and she's done with this.
Well, Jay Leno gets this, but Jay Leno, like, has a guy who goes out and throws out T-shirts 2 seconds
right.
before he comes out.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Oh, I mean, please. Listen to this.
All right, she's very deserving of this ovation.
Unbelievable. Right now, I'm ready to barf. We got that lime green dress.
The band gives her a little oomph.
And she did that little dance that like made all the lumps jiggle.
I could let you go on all night. Thanks,
yeah.
Everybody. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to The Late Show with David Letterman. I can't tell you what an unbelievable honor it is for me to be the first woman to ever guest host the show.
Oh, cheap goose right there.
What a mistake, Letterman. What a mistake, Dave.
I'd had a couple more drinks at a certain NBC cocktail party back in the early 80s. I could have been the first woman to do a lot of things for Dave.
And that's the first time that you're going to hear that a lot.
Yeah.
For Dave.
Where she puts on that fake, like, Marilyn Monroe voice.
Yeah, because she's such a sex bot.
I could have done a lot of things.
She's the woman. You know,
for Dave.
If you listen to her her basic total cavalcade of self-promotion, you will get the fact that she is the diva of show business, and also you will get that she is the incredible woman that all men desire. Those are her two little themes.
Frankly, ugly story. So we'll go right here to the present, and let's say, we all know it. We have a double standard in our culture today, and we probably always have, and maybe we always will.
This is what I found to be the best part of the show. The most uncomfortable part, where she was trying to stand out there
yeah.
and read jokes off cards.
Yeah. She's reading jokes off cards. You hear, you know, once you get the playback, you hear a little...
If I were a man hosting this show, all I would have gotten all week long, hi, everybody.
To the balcony.
No, it's true. It's true.
A shout out to everyone who has Depends undergarments on right now.
Yay, and her voice, you listen to her vocal quality. It's basically, graveyard ship Denny's heavy smoking waitress style. I mean, that's really what it is.
And also very much like she talks to Cody.
Right.
A lot of this is when she talks to the audience like she's talking to a small child.
Hello, you people out there, you people.
Yeah, that's part of her song, too. You know?
Yeah, you people.
You people, you people. I do it all for you.
You know, right. If I were a man, I would have gotten from everybody, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? But guess what everybody asked me all week long? What are you going to wear? Okay, how's this, all right?
Yeah, and then she shows that potato sack that she's wearing.
She got some nice jugs, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they were, she was braless, right? There was some kind of support in
she
there.
She said on the Regis show today that she had a bra on.
Oh, of course, yeah. They need support.
That the trick is to wear a bra and have it not look like you're wearing a bra.
Ah, okay.
I got it at this great little sweatshop downtown.
Yeah, and then her fan club members out in the audience just going...
joke about it, right?
Right.
You all know that Dave has used me and abused me a lot.
Oh, honey, he's not even come close.
Yeah, I'm the audience being like, yeah, amused you, yeah.
So it's only because Letterman has got, you know, a lead pencil in his pants for her that he hasn't really cut her open.
Absolutely.
He's never really
gone
after her, even when she had all the sweatshop stuff, with all the stuff with Giff, with the stewardess.
That's right. He low-pedaled it.
Yeah, he sure did.
I didn't hate all of it, I'll tell you. But through the years he has, and I just want all of you to know that I do not hold a grudge. I am not that type of person. And when the producer called me to ask me to be the host, I had to be honest with him, and I said, listen, I just got to tell you, I don't watch the show that often.
You're hearing it on the radio. I got to tell you, her dry, straw, dried out, parched voice is highly annoying to listen to. It really is.
It makes me wonder what other part of her might be dry and parched.
That would be a good quiz.
She really wanted to give people what she wanted, what they wanted.
Sure.
That's what she did. She just come out and just lift that dress up over her head. And go, hi, everybody. I'm Kathy Lee Gifford.
Take a look at this.
Here you go. What do you think of this?
Take a look at this.
Let's see the bearded clam.
Oh, God.
Hi, everybody. It starts to speak on its own. God, it's hot down here.
Is that because you got to get up so early? And go to bed so early? So you get up so early? I said, no. Great that Dave's back and he's doing so well. He'll be back here again tomorrow night. But I am really happy to be here because this is a great change for me. I get to fill in and sit in for a cranky, overpaid prima donna instead of sitting next to one.
I mean, I just want to tell you, this audience is such a plant. You'll hear them start laughing before she even gets to the punchline because they're all so, hi,
Kathy Lee.
Oh, you're just wonderful.
And you know, at that point when she said that, Regis is in bed with the covers pulled up to his neck already.
Crying.
Next to his pruny wife. And he's just going, oh, Joy, that bitch.
I made her. I made her what she is.
You hear that? How dare she?
Oh, she's got a lot of nerve. You know, she's got taking the gig they asked me for.
Regis, settle down, Regis.
Oh, come on. How can you settle me down?
You,
with your pancakes over there.
She's such a comedian.
You know, I think I can understand that she takes this opportunity, I mean, really, to just really nail Regis. I mean, she, you know...
That's the only reason she did it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because she would piss him off, as evidenced on their TV show today.
So nice. It made me feel so much at home. The hairdresser just said to me, she said, it's so nice to work on somebody that actually has real hair.
You know, she's a little up to you. You're a little Shirley Temple in there, too.
Yeah, I told you. It's like talking to a little kid, right? Like baby talk.
Open heart surgery. I mean, I know. I was really surprised. Who knew he had a heart?
Oh, Kathy.
Fan club. Fan club. But I am not here tonight to male bash. I happen to love men. I love them. I love them, but let's be honest. Yeah, you too. Even you.
You're so funny off the cuff.
And let's all be honest, men and female, all of us tonight, let's be honest, you men, when it comes to pain, are wimps.
Listen, I'm about to kill myself. Why don't we go right ahead to where she sings?
You know, I guarantee you conversations out in the lobby with the fan club. I really think she's better than Dave.
I think she should get her own show.
Absolutely.
I really do. And why Regis is on that show in the morning, I don't know.
I think we know now, finally. Finally, she proved herself.
We love you, Kathy Lee! So she goes through, I won't make you listen to all of the other bad jokes that she tells. And the hyena-like response that she's getting from the senior citizens in the audience.
And the fan club, because it was not just the senior citizens. There was a contingent in there. It was some young, I saw like several rows of young men. That seem to be enjoying it.
I noticed that.
Okay, she is
just marvelous.
We loved her on Broadway.
And I was the first night of her Broadway show. We were also in the front row of the David Letterman show when she hosted.
So she gets done with these jokes off the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder, what's she going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Because Letterman normally goes and sits at his desk, and this is where he does a bit.
Right.
Where, like, he, you know, talks to Muji Bar and then Sandstorm or whatever the names are. But instead of doing anything clever, instead of sending her out with a camera or having her goof on herself, she decides that she's going to sing that ridiculous song that she wrote after Giff was in the tabloids for banging the stewardess and she was in the tabloids for employing the kids, paying them 10 cents an hour to make her Kathy Lee Cal clothes.
And I will tell you, this speaks to the entertainer that Kathy Lee is. She gave the audience rehashed, tired material that she had done on the Regis and Kathy Lee show. Mm-hmm. She couldn't come up with anything that was, you know, in any way. Even the writers couldn't come up with anything.
I'm sure they came up with some stuff.
She probably vetoed
it. And she just said no.
I just want to sing my song. It's really... I,
It's fantastic.
And you got to appreciate the song on two levels. First, how poorly written and self-absorbed the entire song is.
Oh, about studying self-worship.
About the poor little rich girl.
Yes. Right.
Poor Kathy Lee.
Yeah.
Poor Kathy Lee that the tabloids put her in this position. Poor Kathy Lee. But also, listen, she really cannot sing.
No, she can't.
She can't. Now, she has one of those fakey where she... I don't know how you describe that, but what Mike just did, that's exactly what she does.
Oh, absolutely, and that's how she gets through it, too. And this really, more than anything else, this is simply a woman who is so passionately and deeply in love with herself mm-hmm. that she has to sing about it.
So here it is. This is maybe the worst moment in the history of the CBS television network. Somewhere Ed Sullivan
oh, yeah.
is standing up and screaming.
Who the hell is she?
Because I have a perfect life. They put you on a game show and you lala out of tune.
Listen to that voice.
It's swell.
They put you on a game show.
They put you in commercials and you promise folks the moon. It's swell. You sell.
They put you in commercials.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let me just stop it right there.
Yeah. Right.
They don't put you in commercials, mm-hmm. Kathy C.
Right.
You put you in commercials.
You scratch, you claw, you push out of the way,
right.
You self-promote, you wangle your way into all the right bedrooms, and you get your commercial.
They put you next to Regis, and you talk about your life.
They.
You fight so much together, people think that you're his wife. Well, you sell. They put you on the cover and say you're crying the blues. It sells. They say
that's the part you're talking about, right?
Yeah, right there.
Where she
it's self.
I mean, where she has to shake her whole body because she doesn't have the vocal control.
And just horrible. The whole melodic progression of this song.
Right.
It's like, seriously, if you have a kid that's like Mike's age, 4 or 5, if you had a bunch of little girls up on stage
sure.
and they were singing,
mm-hmm.
this is the type of music
right.
that a little girl would be. It's like JonBenet Ramsey music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's there's nothing sophisticated, but this is carnival music.
Yeah, and the lyrics, you know, I think, didn't she write these
yes.
these lyrics
for herself? She did. Mm-hmm. Yes, this was her protest song.
Yeah.
And for a while, she wanted this to be the theme song on Regis and Kathy Lee.
Right. They put you in commercials. Oh, that's good. That makes me look really good.
They do this to me.
Right.
Why in the blues itself, no. they say you're leaving Regis. That's supposed to be news. It sells. They put you on the cover and say your marriage is over. They put you on the cover and say your husband's a rover. They put you on the cover and say your kid is a brat. You once were anorexic, but now you're getting fat. They put you on the cover again, and the source, of course, is always a close personal friend.
Oh, this is now, what we're hearing now is the sad story of sure. Kathy Lee Gifford. And as we said, when she originally sang this song on the Regis and Kathy Lee show,
right.
if it really bothered her this much,
mm-hmm.
you know what she'd do? She'd right. say, you know what? I quit.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
If it really bothered you that much,
sure.
you'd quit.
No, she is passionately, the public eye, the eye. She's in love with the eye.
Oh, he gets back to the eye.
She loves the eye. She loves herself, and she loves the eye. Those are her two passions.
You're battling with Rosie and pills. The next day you're going broke because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you've had. And now you're close to suicide because it turned out bad.
Oh, it's a horrible voice.
Scares. How do I keep on smiling when greeted by those stares? How do I manage sanity when facing all the...
She's asking herself these questions.
Right.
You know, it's not like anyone else. Somebody else didn't write this. She wrote this for herself.
Right.
The self-love is... I don't think there's any performer in media today that loves herself more than Kathy Lee. It's
absolutely
incredible.
Not.
Lies. How do I manage motherhood and keep those awesome thighs?
Well, imagine writing that about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of human being it takes to actually write a song about yourself that talks about, you know, you manage mother and you have great thighs.
And to have the balls to go on the Letterman show and sing it.
Yeah.
And not doing it as a goof.
Right.
Keep in mind, this is not self-parody that she's
mm-hmm.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get that impression. She's coming out and performing the song.
Absolutely, and this is someone who, not only loves herself more than anybody else in the world, I truly believe, but also is so lame that she thinks this is what people want to hear.
And she thinks she's talented.
Mm-hmm.
She really does.
Yep.
Who cares? Who cares? There must be
be something missing from somebody's life when they'd rather read about the plight of Frank Gifford's wife. Is this really what's become of what used to be news? Perhaps the thing they're missing is a carnival cruise.
All right, now.
I'd like to point out that in the first stanza of the song, she was complaining, they put you in commercials.
Yes.
Yet in the second stanza of the song, she refers to the commercial that the poor little rich girl was put in.
Yes. Right, of course.
See, that way it all,
horrible life.
It all works out.
It's just so tough being Kathy.
Poor Kathy Z. Yeah, poor Kathy Z.
Oh,
hey,
bravo.
They put that fire out very fast.
But, rehearsed line.
Rim shot.
Rehearsed line. Oh, Kathy Lee.
Huzzah! Oh,
what a great ad lib.
So timely.
I love being in her fan club.
Huzzah!
What? Ow. Why is everybody always picking on me? Please tell. Please tell. Why am I the butt of all those jokes on TV? It's hell. It's hell.
Ugh.
I really shouldn't take it so personally. To them, I'm not a person, but a personality.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, really. Have you heard this yet, Buzz?
Yes, I saw the tape this morning.
God. This is just awful.
Really, really awful.
This is awful. This is what it's like when you go to hell. You walk in a room with a big screen TV, and this is the only thing that's on.
Mm-hmm.
This is really what hell is just like.
Why entertain? I mean, why make any slight effort to entertain people when you can simply get out and sing a song that, it should be like that Madonna video, because that's what she's doing.
A poor cabaret song.
She's pleasuring herself right now.
Person, but a personality.
A personality.
Yes, well, the critics and the pundits ponder endlessly. When, oh God, please, when will we be rid of Kathy Lee? I wish they had the answer if they only had a clue. I nearly died of shock from Broadway when I got a good review.
Yeah, that's new. That's
I never
new
read
lyric.
That.
Yeah, that's the new lyric.
I never read a good review.
She didn't get one good review.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
From who?
It was, I think, in the New York Post, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Who was the reporter? Tom Gaffin?
I think so, as a matter of fact. She got a share of bad ones, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tons of bad ones, yes. Oh, bravo, Kathy Lee. Bravo. Who needs Dave? Give me Kathy C.
Actually, it wasn't good. It was an absolute rave. But it'll never happen again. My future is secure. I'll keep on filling pages that smell faintly of manure. It fell. They'll all be...
And now at this point, when the background singers, when they sing It Smells,
mm-hmm.
they're all making this move where they're holding their noses all
right,
together.
Right.
And she's holding her nose also. It's like it's all choreographed.
She's great. I'm so glad I'm in her fan club.
They'll all be filled with jealousy and misery and vice, because they can deal with any news except the kind that's nice.
Now she shifts to she's the nice queen.
She's nice.
Mm-hmm. She's so nice. She's so sweet. That's why everybody is slamming her.
Right. Because she's so great.
She's so sweet. Greeted with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity. Maintain my famous vanity.
That's the first true thing. That's right. That's the only true lyric in the song.
I've learned to scoff at critics and to laugh at all the jests. Yes.
Put on a bra. Come on.
Put on a bra. Put on a jock strap.
I roll it back and I'll point out that what they say is, put on a bra, and then someone says, radio chick rules. So this is someone who is trying to do the stuff that we've done before, Jerry Seinfeld and the David Letterman.
That's right.
And I say, you know, good going getting in there.
Absolutely.
But you should have said something like you're a cow or something besides just throwing a bra at her.
Yeah, put on a bra.
But they did throw a bra on stage at her, so listen carefully.
Yeah, baby!
So now the show stopped.
Right.
A heckler has actually stopped Kathy Lee. And what she's doing now is she's taking the bra off.
Yeah, she's putting it on.
Over her clothes.
He wants me to put it on, I'll put it on.
Oh, you're so so outrageous, Kathy.
Damn, you're funny, Kathy Lee.
I'm not used to these. Is that how it goes?
Oh, you make me laugh so much, Kathy Lee.
I'm going to laugh at critics and to scoff at all the jests.
Oh, the other thing she's doing here is nonverbal. She's doing that thing I hate when she deadpans at the camera and she closes one eye.
Oh, that's like her only move. It is her only comedy move. And she did it like as soon as she walked out on stage.
It is a ditzy move that somebody must have told her is funny.
Oh, it's great. I love it when you do that. Do it again. Do it again.
It's not funny.
Okay, you're great.
So every time she looks at the camera and she's trying to sex it up, she tries to balance that
by closing one eye.
By giving the goofy...
And the fan club loves it, as you can tell.
Well, listen to them.
I mean, there's pandemonium in there.
Yes!
What an embarrassment.
The paparazzi are just pests.
Yeah, the paparazzi are just pests. Let's think about that lyric. You know, she loves the paparazzi.
Yeah, they're pests.
You're the reason that I stay.
Hold on, back it up. I think she just said you people.
You people.
Yes. You people.
Yeah, this is the most sanctimonious lyric right here.
You people are the reason I stay.
But you people have been great to me.
You people.
You're the reason that I stay.
I'm doing it all for you people.
You people, because I'm a gift to you. I am Kathy Lee, your gift, America.
They put me in commercials.
Right.
They put me on TV. But you know why I do it? It's a tough life. Mm. I do it for you people.
That's right. The paparazzi that follow me because I am so wonderful. Did I mention I'm the woman that all men desire also? They're just pests.
I'm also very nice. But I do it for you people.
You people are the reason I stay.
My gift to you.
Oh, God, I want to
puke. With a lot of help from heaven and a lot of Chardonnay. Not all
she drank.
They take your picture when you're simply scratching your eye. Then print there she goes again, starting to cry.
Ugh.
When in fact you're really laughing because you know it isn't true. They're writing about someone. But that someone isn't you.
You know she doesn't laugh about that stuff.
Right.
Obviously.
That's a big thing.
She's freaked out about it.
The crap I read, how I'm a woman filled with greed, who really is a heartless jerk, who loves to put small kids to work. The hissy bitch, the phony bitch, the phony bitch with phony.
She almost said the word G.I.
That's right.
And just won't
wow. Is she on the edge?
Hate me too.
Kathy Lee!
So deprecating.
Yes, she really tore into herself, didn't she?
She did. Damn.
Listen to that crowd. Listen to that planted fan club crowd.
She is the female Andrew Dice Clay.
Right.
She's so edgy.
Sure.
Oh, she's got such guts. She's so talented.
Oh, God.
It's God's gift to all of us.
Yeah. You people are the reason I stay.
They make her do commercials.
Have a seat. Have a seat. I'm going to.
Have a seat.
Oh,
you know,
Jamie,
indicating that they're giving her a standing ovation.
We have great guests tonight.
The audience reacts.
Dave
track,
here. You know what? The great Tom Arnold's here tonight.
And this is the point when I'm really about ready to puke, because I realize that is Kathy C. Gifford sitting in David Letterman's chair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What the hell has happened to my television?
I know. What's happened to America?
Welcome. From The View, one of the funniest ladies I know, Joy Behar, is here. And I promise you, you are in for the treat of a lifetime. The most magnificent singer I have ever heard in my entire life.
She sucked.
The best, but not
she
to
did.
Her Linda
With that build up, she sucked.
I never heard of her. Linda Etter?
I was really, you know, I mean, I was expecting to maybe see something that was incredible. I wasn't.
And then they go to commercial break, and I'm not going to torture you with the rest of the show.
Oh, my God.
And, it was
that song says
awful.
All, that song truly says it all about her. It really does. I think it identifies what she is all about. My God. And that is really why you... And I and everybody else that feels that way about Kathy Lee, that's why we feel that way. Because you just know it's BS. You
She's
know?
Just so phony.
And she is so, I mean, full of herself beyond
yes.
what anybody should be.
They make you do commercials and they put you on TV. They take your picture and they tell you that you're mean. I stay for you people.
You people are the reason that I stay.
You're the reason I'm here.
And then she's with a little Chardonnay and like her, you know, her eunuchs in the back of,
she drinks! God, I hate that woman!
And it was the lowest rated late show of the week. I have the overnight ratings here, whereas Dave had a 9 when he came back on Monday. Last night, Kathy Lee drew a 4.2.
Bravo!
Leto beat her, right?
Less than half. Yes, he did.
Yeah, all right. Good for Jay Leto.
That's fantastic.
Good for him.
Well, all right.
That's good. Well, that'll make Regis happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Regis is somewhere right now with a big double scotch or something.
Right.
Look at these numbers.
Joy, look at this. A 4.8.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring those on the show tomorrow. And a big flashcard. And I'm going to show them to our audience. Hey, nice number. Nice number, saggy boobs. It sells.
And that voice. That voice, like too much screaming at her staff, too much screaming at her hairdressers,
too much screaming at Cody.
Yeah, really.
Mom, I'm not going on your show.
Oh, I don't need you, Cody. I don't need you. I've got Letterman's show.
Dodd says you got a big ass.
Meanwhile, Frank Gifford, I mean, you know what? I give him his props just for not, you know, going up to the Brooklyn Bridge and jumping in. I really do.
Well, that imagine man. This. He had to last night.
Oh, yeah.
He had to wait for her to come home.
Sure.
Then he had to sit on the couch and watch that with her.
Right.
And then after that, he probably had to say,
well, Kathy.
You're great.
Kathy, I want to tell you, that was really, Kathy, you've done something that no woman has ever done before, Kathy. Oh, Kathy, you've made me the proudest ex-football giant in the world, Kathy.
And she'd say something, she'd like put her hand on his wrist and say something like, you know, those backhanded compliments. Where, well, you know, you were great once. I wouldn't be on this show if it wasn't you when you had a career.
Right. Thank you, Kathy. Oh, Kathy.
Oh, God.
You do so much for the people.
She's the woman people love to hate. Oh, yes, she is.
That's my Kathy. That's my Kathy.
Oh, dear. 4 a.m. Daddy's got to pee again.
Time out. We will be right back. What a mess.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Working to break the cycle of babies having babies. The Dawn and Mike Show.
Now, listen, next week on the show. Hi, Charlie. Oh, hold on. Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Don.
There he is. Next week on the show, we're going to be telling you how you can enter our new contest. Who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire? With Paul Walter, the guy who has, you know, turn down
right
the Rick Rockhead job on the Fox show.
He was almost as famous now as the guy that you know, did the real show. You've seen Paul Walton's name everywhere.
He's in USA Today.
Yes, absolutely.
Getting the plugs for his La Quinta Inn.
Paul Walton.
We will have him on the show next week. So start the contest. Who wants to go study with a multimillionaire? Plus, next week, we finally hit New York City.
Yay!
On WNEW-FM. And on the show next week, Leah Remini, Kevin James, Jerry Stiller, Tim Conway, and a doctor who says anal sex is not only fun, it's good for you. Mm-hmm. You should do it every single day.
Every day?
Yes, every day.
Yes, that's a challenge.
Dr. Buttock, and he will be on the show next week. Now, time to talk movies. Here is Chuck Stossel. Let me play you in, Charlie, before we quiz you about your personal life.
Very short quiz.
And then talk about movies.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man, Charlie Stossel.
The Ricky Martin of the Donna Clyde Show, Charlie Stossel.
Living La Vida Loca.
When we go to the hockey game together, are we going to double date?
Yes.
Are you going to bring a woman?
I don't know yet. I don't know who I'm going to. I'll wear my jersey if you want.
Okay.
Why was there hesitation when Mike said, are you going to bring a woman? Why wouldn't you just make the commitment that you'll bring a woman?
Because I would have to find one to go.
What happened to Kate?
What?
What happened to Kate?
Nothing. We talked very briefly last night. She is not feeling well. She's a sick girl. Her kitty got her sick.
Who's on the phone?
It's Charlie Stossel. Hi, Charlie.
I mean, that has happened to you in the past.
What?
A girl suddenly gets girl suddenly gets sick after they start dating you.
Only the person from the summer.
So you've not seen Kate since we last talked to her? I think it was 2 weeks ago on the show.
No, 1 week ago on the show. But yeah,
you haven't seen her since then.
No.
Okay.
You've been in contact though.
We talked briefly last night.
I guess you know if you know she's sick. Was it last night?
Last night, briefly.
When you call her, are you preparing for the show?
And my presence.
You know, I know what he's saying. When you did you let the whole week go by and you said, oh damn, it's Thursday. I'm going to be on Don and Mike tomorrow. I better call Kate because I know they're going
to
ask me.
No, and if you have to know, she called me earlier in the week.
Has it almost become?
I called her last night.
So it's not maintenance. At this point, it's not show maintenance to call Kate.
No, it's usually giving the courtesy of return call. She was
called
busy.
You?
She this week.
Was she returning your call?
No, this was out of the blue.
Really?
Yeah.
When she calls you?
She left a message on my answering machine.
And it said,
hi, Charlie.
No, come on. What is she saying?
I'm naked and rubbing myself. Call me.
What does she really say?
She said, hi, it's Kate. I got back. Call me when you get home.
Really?
Yes, really.
So when are you going to see her?
I don't know.
You've still gotten nothing off that girl.
Well, considering I saw her once.
Okay, I'm just asking.
No,
sometimes you're not forthcoming with the details about your personal life.
I don't know why.
Yeah. All right, Charlie.
We talked briefly last night. She had plans for this weekend. She had plans last weekend that were already in place, and that's that.
Do those plans involve another...
I have no idea.
Balding movie man, or
no? As far as I know, they don't. Oh, but then again, I'm also not being that quizzical. If she wants to go somewhere, fantastic. If she
balding.
Doesn't, fantastic. Balding, exactly.
Well, he has some hair left.
I'm just kidding.
You sure you want to go to that game?
I know.
There is tickets. I'll stop.
Charlie Stossel's movie report this week, brought to you by the Cinema Arts Theater in Fair City Mall, Fairfax, featuring independent and foreign films. Boring. Check for listings by calling in 703-978-6991.
Wonderful place.
Or online at www.cinemaartstheater.com. That's theater spelled with an R-E, you dummies. Now, Charlie, what's new at the theater this weekend?
There are only two movies coming out. One, the worst of the two. Then there's a sneak preview, which we'll talk about, because that's so bad, it's funny. Wonder Boys.
Oh, Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Mm-hmm. Mr. Zeta-Jones.
I thought he was getting good reviews for this.
It's just there. There's nothing really to it. He plays an author who, 7 years ago, he had a bestseller book, like John Grisham of the world, writing this great book everyone loved. And since then, he hasn't been able to come up with a book at all. And the one he is currently writing is maybe 800 pages long, because he just is spewing words left and right. He's having affairs. He's stoned all the time. He is not a nice guy, not a guy you would want to get to know.
And he's playing like a curmudgeon-y guy, right?
Yeah. Okay. And he gets into a relationship with a mentorish relationship with Tobey Maguire, a student of his at this university.
His hair looks a little greasy.
What movies has that guy been in?
Cider House.
A movie I would have seen.
Pleasantville?
Tobey Maguire, I mean,
that's it. He was the son in Pleasantville, right, who went back in time.
Exactly.
Oh, and he's good in the Cider House roles, too.
Yes.
Yep.
And that basically is your movie. It's a lot of dialogue, and it's a lot of there.
So you didn't like it?
You know, from Mike Nichols, who directed this, and I really like Mike Nichols' movies. They're usually like Biloxi Blues, a fun movie to watch. Where you
thought Biloxi Blues was a fun movie?
I think Biloxi Blues is a funny movie.
Okay. That's with Matthew Broderick, right?
Yes, it is.
Vehicular manslaughter.
I hate Biloxi Blues.
I thought it, well, anyway.
You've watched it, though, in its entirety.
Oh, I have.
Yeah,
I've got the cable, Mike.
How many times?
I've got the cable.
How many times?
I've seen it a few times.
Eugene.
That's the name.
Eugene. You know, I generally wish that Michael Douglas would just stick to his formula of playing rich pricks.
Yep.
He's great. He's
excellent.
Fantastic.
He's excellent when he's a rich prick. Like
every
time,
he's a rich prick.
Every time that movie A Perfect Murder comes on, mm-hmm. I watch it because he's virtually doing the same role as he did in Wall Street
and Fatal Attraction. And if you look at the credit, and if Michael Douglas is a producer of a film, it's also generally a pretty good effort if he's starring and producing in the movie also.
So how many porcelain dolls
we'll
do you give
two.
Wonder Boys?
Two, because Michael Douglas, I mean, he has a track record. You slip once, you shouldn't get too penalized.
All right, now before you talk about the other one, Reindeer Games,
right,
with Ben Affleck, I want to ask you, I read a report today that said that there was a scene in which Ben Affleck and Charlize Theron,
who is the hottest woman in cinema right now.
A piece.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And she is naked in this movie.
What I read was that there's a sex scene.
Yes.
That was cut out where he is feasting on the yeast.
Yes.
Where
yes,
he pulls off her underpants.
That he does.
They did not simulate feasting on the yeast. He actually...
Really?
Went down. He did this to her.
There is
and
a scene.
She allowed him to do it because it was the only way, you know, that the art could be portrayed.
She's a dedicated actress, God
love her. Where she has her back. They're rolling around in bed, just really going. At one point, they're just falling out of bed and doing it on the floor, where you see his head between her legs, legit, but the camera's moving so fast. It's one of those things that when you get it, when it comes out on DVD, people will be stopping it to say, is that really what he's doing? But the camera moves up so fast, up her to her head, and her back all arched, and her just screaming and wailing away.
Wow. But that's what I read in the newspaper today, that he actually...
I wouldn't be surprised.
He actually did that to her, and
wow,
that she was okay with it, and that she was upset that they cut it out of the movie.
Oh. I'm seeing her tonight.
Oh, you wish. All right, so the plot of Reindeer Games...
The plot of Reindeer Games is, and I tell you, this is a guilty pleasure movie. A lot of action, a lot of violence, where Ben Affleck plays a guy who is in jail. His cellmate is corresponding with Charlize Theron, and they develop this pen pal relationship of, I love you, I'm going to meet you when we get out. Well, when they get out of jail, the cellmate is killed by great actor Dana Stubblefield.
Of the Washington Redskins?
Of your Washington Redskins.
Really?
No talking whatsoever, which is probably a good thing, but he has a very nasty look on his face, and right at the beginning of the movie, he kills off the cellmate during a fight in a cafeteria.
And Lieutenant Dan's in this movie, too, right?
Yes, he is. He is the brother of Charlize Theron.
Oh, Sinise buddy, right?
Yeah, Gary Sinise.
Gary
Sinise.
And when Ben Affleck takes over his cellmate's role, the cellmate who was killed knew about this casino and knew how to go about and rob it. Well, since he's playing this identity, everyone thinks that he should be able to do this. So he is now really stuck because, A, he's lied. So that's not making them very good with Sinise buddy.
Pretty complicated plot, it sounds
like. It's not as complicated as, of course, I always make it up.
Because Charlie gives us every tedious plot summary in the world.
At that point, he decides, yeah, I'll help you steal from this casino.
Charlie Stossel can make the family circus tedious. You know the cartoon in the newspaper that's just one circle that has like a little kid with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? You have a talent with that, Charlie.
Thank you. And it's a talent I've honed over years. I liked it. I really did. It was better than I thought it would be.
How many porcelain dolls
three.
Do you give this?
We'll give it three. A guilty pleasure, three.
Three. And this Charlize
Theron.
How much do you see her?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Do you see her biddies?
A little bit. In passing, it's not like it's the camera is right on them.
In the Cider House Rules, which is a movie I went to that theater that you like. I went to see that. And there's a shot of her in this movie where she is just laid out on her stomach on the bed, and they do a slow pan up over her butt, and she is... Ooh. I mean, the camera... Just loves her. Oh, my God.
I'd like to see her naked in a movie besides The Devil's Advocate, because in The Devil's Advocate, when she's naked, the only time you really see her naked is when she stands up in church with Keanu Reeves, and she goes, look what he did to me. And she takes off that blanket, and she's got like those cuts all over her.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me like three or four times to become desensitized to where I could actually get past that to actually analyze her naked body.
She's incredibly hot.
She's very good looking.
Right now, I think the best looking woman in movies.
She is one of them. She's right up there. The sneak preview this weekend is Gary Shandling's film.
Now, I want to say,
what planet are you from?
I told Mike on the show yesterday that I've heard Gary Shandling talk about making this movie for 2 years, and all along I thought, this is a dumb idea for a movie. The ads I've seen and the promotion I've seen him do, it looks funny.
And here's also, now I just realized I made a mistake earlier. Mike Nichols directs this movie, the Gary Shandling movie.
Well, that means he doesn't
like
it.
No, not Wonder Boys. This movie is not funny at all.
Looked funny. The ad I saw looked funny.
Now, it could be that I saw it alone in a theater by myself.
Yeah. As always.
No, not as always. I didn't laugh once. Hmm. Not a smile, not a chuckle, nothing.
Really?
Gary Shandling is an alien who is given the task of coming to this planet to procreate, because in a few years they're going to take over the planet and they want some of their people here. They have no sexual organs, so he is given a penis, which, when he gets around women,
it's funny,
vibrates and becomes erect. So he's been given all of the lines on how to do it. He'll walk up to somebody and say, wow, you're beautiful. Can I have your autograph? And she'll say, why? Because you're beautiful. You must be Miss America. May I insert my penis in you? He has no tact whatsoever.
You're making Mike and I laugh with
that. You didn't laugh at that.
It really
I've seen it in the trailers.
Really? Okay.
The trailers are the movie. Greg Kinnear is in the film, a very sleazy work associate. Annette Bening is the woman who he eventually falls in love with. And she, of course, wants to have a baby, so he's there at the ready. They make love 160 times in 2 days trying to get her pregnant. But all she wants to do is talk and have a relationship. And you hear that it just everything just comes. It wasn't that funny.
Well, I bet I love it.
I really bet I do.
That's okay. Always something to look forward to when
that
you
opens
go
up
see
next,
it.
Next week. There's a sneak preview this weekend and then next week for good.
You'll have to come back and
I'll let you know.
And maybe, you know, who knows? 1 in 100 chance he might give you your props on that.
I thought Boiler Room was all right. It was about as you described. It was all right. You know, I think it's bad advertising to put Ben Affleck's name, though, at the top of those credits.
Yeah.
Because Ben Affleck is in the movie for maybe a total of 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good scene, but really not worth it.
It's all that Giovanni Mussolini guy. That
Giovanni Ribisi.
Right.
Mussolini.
He's excellent. Boiler Room is a very good movie.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Did crap, though, at the box office, right? It got killed.
No one expected it to do much.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
All right, guys.
Charlie Thank
Gossel, Charlie.
Our movie man.
Bye-bye.
Hey, get some this weekend.
Good luck.
Get some. Get some poontang this weekend, Charlie.
There he goes.
There he is, the horniest white man in America. Charlie Stossel will be right back.
He's the Don and Mouse Clown Inspectors, Don and Mike.
All right, well, here's a shocking development.
What's that?
Rudy Martsky's guest is not ready on time.
Bill Walton?
Right.
Paul Walton's brother.
We'll forge ahead without him. Let me call as my first witness on today's show. Our brand new phone screener, Toya.
The lovely Toya!
We've not yet introduced Toya to everybody listening. You get a chance to find out a little about Toya. Also, we have a special sex quiz for Toya to take.
Excellent. She's already agreed.
I don't know.
Oh, we don't know yet. Oh, there's a little drama.
Oh, she doesn't have a choice. She's the phone screener.
Ah, that's right.
Life has to be an open book for Toya.
On this show, everyone's life is an open book.
And we've always introduced the new phone screeners.
You know why our lives are an open book?
Why?
Because it sells. It sells.
We're here. For you people.
Hi, Toya.
Hello, Toya.
Hi.
Everybody, the wonderful Toya.
Here you are, finally in the hot seat. Have you been looking forward to it or dreading it?
Dreading it.
Yay! Wear a nice low-cut top today. Show a little cleavage. How old are you, Toya?
20-something.
20-something. So you're in. You're at the part of your 20s where you are concerned about revealing the last digit.
What are you, right. Baby, 27?
No, not that old.
24?
Somewhere around there, yeah. Very,
25?
Very. Why would you already be lying about your age at 24?
Yeah, 25.
Because.
This could be a pattern if she's not going to reveal secrets about herself.
Oh, she has to. Listen, Toya, you have to reveal.
Okay.
How old are you?
24.
Okay. Excellent. That's a good first step, Toya.
How have you found working here so far? Are you enjoying the experience?
Yes.
Is it everything you expected it would be?
Sure.
Really?
Now, I'll tell you that the last person who had this job, he crashed and burned. It was an awful, awful experience with Michael Rockhead.
Yes, very unpleasant. Well, you know, we just had a tough time with him. We really did.
I mean, we hated him. He hated us. The people on the phone hated him.
Yeah,
he hated the people on the telephone.
They tell me.
How have our listeners responded to your gentle touch?
They're very nice.
Oh, listen
very
to that.
Friendly.
Wow. So it must be a complete turnaround from Mike Rockhead.
Yeah.
That's great.
Have you had lots of horny guys calling on our phones?
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. Toya, who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
People tell me all the time, and I don't agree with it, Queen Latifah, but I don't think I'm
you're not fat like Queen Latifah.
I think you look more like Natalie Cole than Queen Latifah. I think
Natalie Cole is right on, Mike.
Yeah, I think you look a little... Has anyone ever told you that?
No,
like Natalie Cole. And we've had Natalie Cole in studio, once when she was in a good mood and once when she was in a bad mood.
We had good Natalie Cole, we had bad Natalie Cole.
Yeah, bad Natalie Cole was very, very mean, but you're not mean so far.
No, I'm not mean.
That's, but you do look a little bit like Natalie Cole.
Okay, good, that's pretty. Good.
Why did you want to have this job?
Because I used to listen to you guys when I was little in the morning when you were on the other station, and me and my best friend would wake up early to listen to you guys on the morning zoo.
So
that makes me feel
and
so
I knew old. Then that I wanted to be with you guys.
Wow.
Do you want to be with us? Be with us or
work
with us?
Work with you.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay.
But just for the record, if your job was on the line, would you sleep with us?
Sure.
Okay, good. That's always good to know.
Excellent. That's a relief. What a relief that is.
Let's just make sure. You'd sleep with me, you sleep with Mike.
Yeah.
You sleep with Buzz?
Yeah, sure. But he's newsworthy.
Reluctantly.
So, yeah.
Would you sleep with Rob if your job depended on it?
Sure.
Sure. Well, reluctantly, she agrees. Huzzah!
Huzzah!
You know, that's how I got Carrie.
Rob is like a brother to me.
There you go. He's everybody's brother on the show.
Now, how have you found the people around the radio station? Who's been the most trouble for you around the radio station?
No one yet.
There must be one person. Would you feel more comfortable writing it down?
If you write it down, it's much easier to do it that way, because you just jot it down, and then Don reads it.
Can I say initials?
Yeah, sure.
B.B.
Charles Broyhill! I know it. Is he pawing at you? Is he bothering you?
He's a tough one.
He is tough.
Has he talked to you about sex?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. He will.
I mean, I don't mean talk to you about having sex with him, but has just the subject of sex in general come up with him?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he is always talking about sex, isn't he?
Yeah, I heard about his 50 conkers.
Have you heard him talk to his phone hose?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He talks to them all the time.
Barry White style.
has Charles Loring Broyhill taught you one thing about this business?
No.
Good Speaking answer. Of, one of Charlie's phone hoses is on the phone right now.
Oh, very good.
You know that dumb girl from Georgia?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what's her name? Oh. Peaches or Peanuts or something like that?
Peeny, and it's not from Georgia, South Carolina.
What is Peeny?
Peeny?
Yes.
Peeny, are you calling for your phone sex with Charlie Broyhill?
Don't always.
How you doing, Peeny?
Don't always.
I knew you was going to put me on the radio when you answered it a while ago.
You knew we was going to put you on the radio?
Toya, have you talked to Peeny?
Yes, she called a couple times yesterday.
Sure. Say hi to Toya, Peeny.
Hey, Toya.
Hi, Peeny.
Peeny, I'm sure this drives you crazy. Toya gets to sit right next to Charlie Broyhill for most of the day.
That's right, every day.
Not really, I want to sit beside y'all two.
Y'all too?
Married.
Y'all too.
It's tough to, like, decipher this.
Yeah. Y'all too.
Y'all too. You want to sit next to us?
Yes.
But really? Y'all's married.
I looked y'all up on the internet, and I think Don's really cute, but you have a wife, you know? So.
Right. Click, 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 click.
Oh, Don on the internet, and get that thing around that. Don Smith,
You called for your phone sex with Charlie Broyhill?
I guess.
Okay, hold on, please.
Okay, Peeny.
Yeah. Peeny.
He'll be right
Rob
with
the hell kind of name is Peeny. He's going to tell Charlie that his phone hoe is on the phone.
Well, I'm sure he knows.
On line number three. Now, Toya, as she leaves, anybody want a bet? How long until our listeners break her spirit?
Oh, I would say...
Because really, right now...
She has a much better attitude than Rockhead, and she's not going to be as confrontational as Rockhead.
Right now, she has maybe the best attitude since Christine first started answering the phones a couple of years ago.
Very good when someone comes in with that attitude. It, adds shelf life.
But, you know, eventually, our listeners will break her.
Right.
Eventually, it's like, you know, John McCain in that POW camp.
Yep.
Eventually... Something's going to set her off. How long until she gets set off?
I'm going to say by tax day, we'll come in and say, Toya, how you doing?
Fine.
So you think by April 15th?
April 15th.
I'll give it a little longer than that. Okay. I will say Memorial Day.
Very good.
I say the honeymoon lasts until Memorial Day, until the end of May.
I have the most faith of all. I'll say until Labor Day. I'll say she's good until fall. Yeah, Rob, what do you think? I mean, you've done that job, and I'm just curious.
What do you think? I think I'll give her till Christmas.
Wow, so very generous.
Christmas or beyond?
To Christmas and beyond!
Right, so as you can hear, you know, it goes like this. Mike has the least amount of faith.
Yes.
I have the second least amount of faith.
Which I should point out has absolutely nothing to do with Toya.
No, everything to do with the people who listen to this show.
Yes. I mean, I sit here with my spirit broken every day.
Buzz thinks that she might go real far, and Buzz is going to, and Robbie goes way past Buzz and says she's going to go all the way to the end of the year before she has a breakdown.
To infinity and beyond.
I think because she's a nice young woman and because she took the test today, I think she's actually won the respect of the callers and that they'll treat her nicer.
I believe that might
than
be
any
right.
of our previous phone
that would
screeners.
Be one. It would be nice to have someone keep that job.
I believe that's correct for all these semi-normal callers.
Well, right.
But then there are simply the people who heard her sex. I mean, like her first aide calls you.
What's it like? Well, who watched you? You had sex with 11 guys. Hey, get to Tom Gavin. Can I have sex with you?
That's right.
Because you know that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't think she's had the first Gavin call yet.
Yeah. And then, you know, how many calls you take a week when Peeny calls.
Sam, let me talk to Charlie.
And don't forget all the click guys that call.
Yeah, people watch you.
Well, I hope that she beats the odds.
Yes.
And remains happy with her spirit unbroken for a long time.
That is very, very cool.
That's good old Toya. She's a very nice girl. Very glad to have her here.
So glad to be rid of Bronco.
Really, I mean, it's really elevated. I don't know if this is something that is noticeable to you,
right,
listening to the show,
mm-hmm,
but everybody around here has been in a better mood since Rockhead is gone.
Well, this is a very interesting concept of actually walking up to someone that you see at work, smiling and saying hello, and then they address you by name and say hello back with a smile.
I know.
Phenomenally unusual concept.
Then we got used to coming back here. Rockhead would have his hands, mm-hmm, over his head, and you go, hey, Rockhead, and this is all you get.
Right.
Tired. I can't take any more from people. People want to fight me.
Douchebag.
He's out of our lives. He's gone.
He's out of our lives.
He's dead to us. Let's clear these lines now. Be gentle with Koya.
Absolutely.
As she counts up to number 100.
Mm-hmm.
Big money time, everybody. Call her 100 time. Your chance to win up to $10,000 with the secret celebrity laugh. We'll take the 100th call right now. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Damn It.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Of course, with Leah with Craig Kilborn.
Yes.
Leah will be on the show next week when we debut in New York City.
We are very excited about that because she's a New York kind of gal.
So will Kevin. Both of them for King of Queens.
Right.
And for the first time ever, Jerry Stiller. Next week on the show.
Hey. That'll be interesting.
See if he remembers meeting us. Also next week, Tim Conway. And a whole day devoted to anal sex. With a doctor who thinks that it's good for you.
We'll have to hear that theory.
Hmm. You know, Buzz brought up one good point.
Yes.
During the commercial break.
Important, I think.
I've got to bring Toya back in here. And then we'll get to caller 100. And Bill Walton from NBA NBC is standing by to chat with us.
Right.
Toya, need you back in here.
Come here, Toya.
Buzz came in during the stop set and said, can't believe you left out the most important question on the sex quiz.
I think so.
Is it even more important than the no-no spot? And Buzz said, yes. Toya, we did forget to ask. Have you ever had hot interracial love?
Yes.
Yes.
Big round of applause from everybody on the show.
So you've been with a cracker?
Yeah, many times.
Many times.
Wow.
Been with Whitey many times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Toya.
Bye.
Thank you. And that man, of course, was...
Many times.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Caller 100.
Right, that's you. Who's this?
Darren Huff.
Hi, Darren Huff, no relation to Sam.
No.
Wow, that's a great name you've got.
Thank you much.
Darren, where are you calling from?
Spokane, Washington.
Right. Beautiful.
Listening Darren on... Huff will make a good contestant.
Listening on K-Fan Radio, you have won the WWF No Way Out prize pack. Pay-per-view Sunday night, WWF No Way Out from Comcast and Cox Cable System.
Alrighty.
Oh, that reminds me, we are giving away a trip courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable to Vegas.
Vegas! Yeah.
We're giving away that trip later in the show. It's time for three more words in the Big Gum Jim birthday story.
Three more words.
And we'll go with Buzz first.
Okay, let's say...
Everybody get out your story page.
Which, W-H-I-C-H.
Okay.
And the next word is throbbed. And Mike?
Uncontrollably.
See, nobody wants to say the words like with and
right
for. No one wants to help out.
Well, you know, we're gonna have to get an as or a the or one of it somewhere down the road.
Somebody's gonna have to be a team player.
Bite the bullet. But we all like to have our fun.
Sure.
All right. So your next three words are which throbbed uncontrollably. And that's to win the vacation to Las Vegas that we'll do before the end of today's show.
Excellent.
All right. Now you, my friend.
Yes.
Have you heard the secret celebrity laugh?
A time or two.
And do you have an idea?
Not much of one.
Really? Are you funning me?
No.
I believe you are.
Okay.
You will play for $1,000.
Oh, what a shame. Mm. But it's wonderful. $1,000.
$1,000 is a good jackpot. We can go all the way up to $10,000.
But you feel this man might be pulling a scam.
Yeah, I think he's playing poker with us.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
He doesn't sound like an idiot.
So
I
good
appreciate
luck.
That.
He doesn't sound like an idiot.
He does. We're all doing our Buzz Burbank commercial voice impression.
It doesn't sound like an idiot.
He sounds like he might be smart. And that's why he's going to do it.
That's why I'm the spokesman for a car Honda.
Because they want you to know. They want you to come in. Do that.
He doesn't
smart.
Sound like an idiot.
That's right.
Toy has had interracial sex.
That's right. I got one more question you need to ask her.
She doesn't like it in the no-no spot.
Absolutely not.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
And I'm nice.
I like it in the no-no spot. Okay, are you ready? $1,000?
I am ready.
Good luck. We'll play you the secret celebrity laugh. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
Love that.
We big time. You... I mean, over-the-top Goulet. You're going to get the best Goulet you've ever gotten.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There. There's the celebrity laugh right there. Just because I think you're smart, you'll play for $1,000. Now stand by for Goulet.
And the odds are in my favor. Yeah!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Yes! See, that one had it all. The finger snapping.
Yeah, that's the key. The finger. It's a total lounge singer act.
For $1,000, who is that?
Is it Craig Kilborn?
No.
He guessed before, I think, right?
We're sorry. Yep, Craig Kilborn, our friend Craig Kilborn, has been guessed before.
No.
But thank you. Please remember, every guess is a clue for you. A clue for you. Okay, we're ready for Bill Walton now.
Hey!
Bill Walton, who is... Hold on a second. Here's Charlie Broyhill. Huh?
I've been trying Mr. Walton, and his line is busy now.
All right, F him.
Okay.
I mean, I'm serious.
But Rudy is on six.
Oh, it means we'll get to chat exclusively with Rupert Martsky.
All right, let me explain to you the deal with getting these guests that Rudy gets for us from the world of sports. The whole thing today was they said, okay, Bill Walton, we had him scheduled for 4:20. Then he calls and he says, I can't do it until 5 o'clock because I'm doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended our Charlie Stossel movie segment right before 5 o'clock.
Right.
We came back from the commercials. And Charlie Broyhill said, he's not at home. We pressed on. Charlie got a hold of him after we had already gone on the air and started to interview Toya. And he said at that point, Bill Walton was giving him a hard time saying, I thought you were going to call me at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie said, I did. And Bill Walton said, it's 3 minutes after 5 o'clock. That I guess Charlie had been trying him like at 5 till, 2 minutes till, and then let 5 minutes lapse, and he called at 3 minutes after 5.
Oh, wow.
And Bill Walton gave him a hard time. So then we said, listen, we've moved on to something else. We're going to have to reschedule you for the next segment.
Right.
And apparently he was not happy with that, and now he was not happy
he was
with that.
Not happy, and he decided that he'd try to do something else, which is really what he wanted to do.
So he's talking on the phone with somebody else right now. So Rudy. Rudy?
Here's Rudy.
Yeah,
Hart.
Done. Rudy. I heard it. Yeah.
It's no good with Bill Walton today.
I can't believe it because Bill's usually very cooperative, and I can't understand after Charlie set it up, told me to call him in 15 minutes, and Bill got back on the phone.
Yeah, well, he did, so F him.
Where are you today, Rudy?
Well, Mike, you probably won't like this.
Oh,
but,
man, you're at another golf tournament.
No, not a tournament.
On vacation, though.
California mountain course just north of L.A. and headed down tomorrow to the World Match Play Championship in Carlsbad.
I hate you, Rudy. I really do. You make me jealous all the time.
I mean, let me ask Rudy something here. In his column today in USA Today, Rudy Martsky, you know, sports on TV by Rudy Martsky.
Right.
That's what it says.
It's funny when you
sports
say
on
it like
TV
that. It just makes me laugh.
By Rudy Martsky.
By Rudy.
Come on. It's like, you know, that Bart would put on his school report. You know, sports on TV by Bart Soares.
That's the best I could write.
All right, you write here about Mike Ditka coming to the CBS show. And for a long time, you had been screaming that Ditka was going to go to Monday Night Football. So now you got that one wrong. Ditka doesn't go to Monday Night Football. Ditka goes to the CBS studio show. You then write about Bill Parcells. So let me ask you, where is Bill Parcells going to wind up? Where is Jimmy Johnson going to wind up in the TV world?
Okay, now, first of all, I didn't get it wrong on Ditka. ABC got it wrong. They didn't go after him like they should have for a third man in the booth there, but they had hinted to me that they would. They just kind of sat on their hands and let it slide by, and CBS was very aggressive. Sean McManus, their president of their sports division, and went after Ditka and got him. Now, Parcells has been approached by Fox, and they're talking to him about doing Eastern games for Fox, these NFC games. I mean, games, let's say, you know, they're not on the West Coast, and because Parcells doesn't like to travel. So he would be on an announce team that would do games for Fox. Now, Jimmy Johnson is being quite reluctant to get into this. We thought he'd be more, you know, anxious to do it, but Jimmy's very wealthy right now, having made a lot of big money with the Dolphins and a lot of endorsements. And when CBS approached him, Jimmy said, well, I think I could do it, maybe. And so CBS said, hey, we're going after Ditka for sure.
Is it looking right now like ABC is just going to stand pat with the same team, Al Michaels and Boomer Esiason, and they're not going to make any effort to bring anybody else into the booth?
I'll tell you this, at the present time, sadly, I'd say that, but they could pull somebody that we're not even that aware of, or maybe talk Jimmy into it, but
I tell you,
right now, they haven't made any moves at ABC. They haven't even decided to even go ahead and hire a guy, because Al Michaels only wants two in the booth.
When you say sadly, I can only read that as, I know that you think Al Michaels is great, as we all do. When you say sadly, I can only read that as more of your veiled criticism of Boomer Esiason. So for the record,
yeah, we all do, but I just want to say that I think Al Michaels is a great play-by-play guy, but I also think he's gotten a little angry, and it comes through in the broadcast, and I don't think he is as lighthearted as he used to be, and I wish he'd, maybe that has something to do with Boomer, I don't know.
For the record.
Hey, Mike, that's very astute for you, anyway.
God bless you.
I'll tell you what.
I'm really coming along.
You've noticed something there. I think if Al was with somebody that was more jovial, that he got along with better, you'd see the old Al Michaels.
So are you saying that Al Michaels does not get along with Boomer Esiason?
Well, there's a lot of reports like that. Nobody will confirm it, but they do stay in different hotels at times on the road. Now, part of it is that Al has in his contract that he gets to stay at, let's say, Four Seasons or Ritz Carlton's.
Of course, in the great days of Monday Night Football, when Howard Cosell and Don Meredith shared the same bed.
Yeah, right.
All right, so what are you saying? Like, when they come to D.C., that Al Michaels stays at the Four Seasons? Where does Boomer Esiason stay? The Best Western?
Well, they stayed. I think the last time they were in Washington was at maybe the Westin, I think it was.
So Al Michaels?
Yeah, it's a nice hotel. The Westin's a fine hotel, but Al, in his contract, gets to stay at either Four Seasons or Ritz-Carlton's if they have one in the city that they're doing the game.
Nice perk.
Really? So what do you think of Boomer Esiason once and for all? Just give me a definitive that I can put on tape and play back when it comes up at some point. What do you think? Because you have gone on this show from saying he's the biggest disappointment to saying he's the comeback player of the year. What do you think of Boomer Esiason?
Well, it depends if I'm in Boomer's presence. Okay, now wait a second. No, here's Boomer did improve this season as the season went along, but it's not enough to warrant just two men in the booth. They need a third guy to get some pizzazz in there, and especially for the playoff Boomer, for Boomer to play off him. And the thing that I point out with Al Michaels, and I've told this to Al, wouldn't it be better? You've excelled in a three-man booth, both in baseball and football. Wouldn't it be better to be part of a successful three-man booth that people seem to like, rather than a two-man booth that people are disappointed in? And Al's still mulling it over, but right now he prefers a two-man booth.
So listen, Boomer Esiason, just answer the question. Do you like him or don't you like him on Monday Night Football? Yes or no?
I don't like him enough.
Okay.
All right.
That's as close as we're going to get to an answer.
So who will you be, when you go to this golf thing?
This is the World Match Play Championships that you actually said that format, you're like everybody else.
I like that format. What I like about it is that you see, like, Tiger Woods yesterday played against the guy who was ranked like 45th.
Right.
Or they have sucky guys playing against good guys. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I noticed that half the sucky guys beat the good guys.
Well, that's great. And the thing about match play is that it's really, you know, it's just like the cliche, not over till it's over, because because you can, it's not like in stroke play where you can actually give up strokes and then get into a hole.
You actually can stroke play.
Stroke play, hole, you know, lots of good terms in golf. Match play is so exciting because these guys that are ranked 122nd can, you know, come back and beat a Tiger Woods if the wind's blowing the right way.
So when you go out there for this, whose dime are you traveling on? Is it ABC?
No, I'm traveling on my dime or USA Today.
I mean, I know it's USA Today, but...
This is not ABC.
No. But when you go out, your drinks, your meals, all the parties and stuff, you'll be with the ABC people, right?
Well, not necessarily. It depends. I'm out here with my wife, and, I don't even see those guys till tomorrow, so I don't even know if there's going to be time for anything like drinks or meals.
Oh, wait a minute.
Who's doing the match play?
Mike would be surprised at that, but...
Who's covering it on the weekend? Who's doing the match
play? Well, this will be ABC. Now, of course, that's the same ABC crew. Mm-hmm. That's Mike Tirico and Curtis Strain.
That means you'll be going out.
It's the same ABC crew that's been doing on in midweek for Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
So you'll be going out and getting bombed with Mike Tirico.
Hey, Mike Tirico's a good guy.
I tell you, Mike Tirico is the best new golf announcer that's come down. I mean, he is terrific.
I was not casting any aspersions on Mike Tirico. I was simply saying he will probably be the guy who is the recipient of the Rudy weekend.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I won't deny that.
Well, I hope you write something nice about Mike Tirico because he's a good guy.
Well, you can probably be guaranteed that, guys, you know.
Yeah, well, whoever Rudy spends the weekend with gets a rave in his column on Monday. Sports on TV by Rudy Marksky. Hey, Rudy, do you have a nugget for us? Something we would not have known if we were not talking to you, the guru of TV sports?
Okay, guys, here's another reason why the Redskins are very likely to be in the Super Bowl next year. By the way, the Rams will not be in. They've lost so many guys in this offseason, they're not going to repeat that, let alone they've lost their coach, Dick Vermeil. So, the draft, which the Redskins pick second, they're going to get LeVar Arrington, great linebacker from Penn State.
Wait,
hold on. All of these guys they've got.
Is this the nugget?
Well, yeah.
I heard that's not true. I heard they're not going to get that guy. They're going to get the other LeVar Burton.
That is an awful, awful nugget. I mean, for you, a guy who's supposed to be so piped in to the world of TV sports, you tell me something that's been on the front page of the goddamn Washington Post sports section for 6 months. Pick up the sporting news this week. They have a mock draft. Redskins pick second. LeVar Arrington from Penn State. Don't you have anything better?
They might cross him up and take Peter Warwick.
Please, no. And the Browns are taking Peter Warwick. You know that.
The Browns could likely take Courtney Brown, the defensive end from Penn State.
Would you like to bet on that? I'll bet you anything, a public humiliation, any amount of money, you name it, that the Browns take Peter Warwick number one.
Hold on, how about a dinner next time? I mean, maybe one of the dinners I don't get from ABC.
A dinner.
Okay.
You have to take Rudy and the Mouse out. How about dinner at the either person's house?
Oh, shut up.
That was a heartfelt show.
Yeah. That was a true one. That wasn't a comedy one. That was a real one. Rudy, all I ask is that when you come to us, you really bring us a real nugget. But listen, don't worry about it. And F. Bill Walton, F. Bill Walton, tell him he's a dumbass who lives in a teepee.
I can't believe it. I'm disappointed.
And he does live in a teepee, you know. Bill Walton does.
I live in a teepee.
Freak. All right, goodbye, Rudy.
Okay, guys.
Bye. See you next week.
See you later. Have fun.
Bye.
Well, we'll be better. Okay.
Bye. Do better next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
He's got that cell phone with that California delay on. That was a real shut up. I love that.
Rudy Martsky brought to you by Glory Days Grill. Great food, good sports, now with 5 locations in the D.C. area. Burke, V.A., Dale City, V.A., Sterling, V.A., Centerville, V.A., and now their brand new Germantown M.D. location, Glory Days Grill.
Rudy Mouse, welcome to my house. Hey, it's going to be a late one.
Shut up. We will be right back.
He's the Don and Mike.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Huzzah! The Don and Mike Show.
We'll take some calls here very quickly. I'm going to get right to a brand new low-budget Jeff RD.
All right.
Let me call my old lady, though.
It's been a while.
No, it has. It's just been a couple. couple of days. I'm sorry. Just since the other day when we talked about going to the movies.
Hello?
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
I want to know if you're hearing this at all from your old lady, Mike.
Okay.
I was just talking to my old lady during the commercials.
I'm excited.
And she was just talking with some of her housefrau friends.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's offensive.
Well, all right, with some of your
girlfriends.
Some of your gal pals.
That's fine.
But they're housefrows. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think of myself as a housefrow.
Well, no, that's right. You work.
Yeah,
no, you work. You do.
I love that image, though, of housefrau. It's a woman that not only takes care of the home, but then when daddy comes home, she comes out in the big giant beer garden uniform with giant steins of beer.
With the babushka on her head.
Just like, hello, honey. Welcome from the hard day.
You know, I work plenty, whether it's in my house or outside of it.
Hardest job in the world.
I know. So generally, Frida has been low-keying. I saw that, Mike.
Thank you.
Frida has been low-keying this New York thing. Like when we got our pictures in the New York Post this week,
right.
she was excited about it, but she's not been over the top about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been very low-key where she'll say, how often are you guys going to go up
there? I've had that reaction as well.
And I said, you know, a couple of times a week, and I've indicated that, if we're doing a show up in New York on Thursday and Friday, that Freedom Bart will come up and we can spend the weekend in New York together.
But Bart said, oh, Daddy will be gone a couple of days a week. And I try hard not to do my little victory dance right in front of him.
Yeah, so it's been very low-key. It wasn't until like 5 minutes ago during the commercial, she calls me up and she says, Gail, who's a friend, she's married to Chris, one of our neighbors that moved to New York. Apparently, the great news is that they'll be able to get Broadway tickets.
Oh, Shiggy, I have not been saying anything to you, but I've been clipping places I want to shop at, for the past.
It's not me going to Broadway.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's the girls.
The girls going to Broadway.
What they're going to plan is big trips based on when you and I go up to work.
Of course.
To feed our family.
Of course.
As a matter of fact, you'll be a little in the way because, you can't be in the same room if we get hotel rooms. So, you
have to move to another hotel. Room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, Bunny touched me again this week.
Ooh.
Okay, I think it's you should low key that.
I don't want to start anything.
Yeah.
She did it right in front of you when she came into our house. I mean, it was.
How did she touch you? Was it a good touch or bad touch?
It was a good touch.
Okay, I think that you should probably not just cause trouble.
I know, I'm not trying to cause trouble.
Yeah.
But it's true.
You can't help yourself.
I know, I got to mention it. Well, all I want to know is it you and Bunny and Gail? Is that the posse?
That could be it. Maybe a couple other friends, too.
Cool.
Hey, really? Laura and Marcia, welcome to come.
Yeah, because, Laura's going to come up, I think, and, we're not going to bring the kids up a lot. But
no, there are no kids allowed. We're all leaving kids.
They'll definitely, be the overnight with the in-laws and pop up to NYC. It's going to be fun.
All right, honey.
And Grandma's excited.
Why is your mom excited? She's not coming.
We've got plans. I just don't
do it. Oh. Fantastic. My mother-in-law joining us in New York.
All right. You will not be lonely.
What?
You will not be lonely.
Yeah. All right, honey. Well, I'm glad that you're finally excited. I've only been slaving away in the radio business for 25 years.
Right.
Finally get the big break, and I'm glad that what finally has made you excited is the fact that your friend Gail will get you tickets to go to Broadway shows.
I was saying to my friend Gail, not only is he going to be out of town a couple of days a week, but he's going to a place that I wouldn't mind visiting once in a while. It's a win-win situation.
Right. All right. Beautiful. Love you.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right. Goodbye. I mean, I'm telling you, that's the most excited she's been.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time about this thing.
It has nothing to do with your career. It has everything to do with the fact that you're going to a fun place.
Right.
NYC.
Broadway.
Shopping.
Why, do you know that Gail says she can get us tickets to Phantom of the Opera? Okay. Great. BFD, honey. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, that is cool, though.
Come on up on my dime.
Sure, why not?
Come on up. We have good news from Spokane, Washington this time.
Spokane.
All the ratings are coming out now.
Right. This has been an incredible period of ratings for us. We're just getting success story after success story.
All of the fall 1999 Arbitron ratings are coming out, and this time we have to thank the good people of
Spokane, Washington.
That's right. And I'd like to point out before you read these ratings that we thank the people that listen to this show, but that's not why we do this, like Kathy Lee.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. We're in it for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, we're not in this for you people.
Not at all.
You know, Kathy Lee says,
right,
I'm here for you people. No,
sure.
You know who I'm here for? She was just on the telephone.
Yeah.
Right.
There
okay?
you go.
My wife has a very expensive habit at all of these stores. That's why I'm here. I'm here for her.
Sure.
Right. Listen, here you go. Spokane, Washington.
Yes.
One of these ratings are impossible to read. I just know that they're good.
Okay.
How many?
Tough to decipher.
How many stupid categories are there? All right, let me see.
Is anything highlighted?
Well, there are arrows pointing, but I can't tell. Okay.
Follow the directions.
12 plus.
Ah.
All listeners 12 and over.
Okay, that's the beauty contest. That's the overall rating.
That's an 8.8 share.
Wow.
Solid. An 8.8 share.
Wow. Is there a ranking there so we know where we stand?
I think that's second.
Second.
Oh,
very good.
Very good. Men 18 to 34, a 12.1 share.
Ooh. That should be number one, I would think.
I think so. Men age 25 to 54, a 10.9 share.
Wow, excellent.
Double digits again. This is really incredible.
Mm-hmm. Men aged 25 to 49, an 11.7 share.
In Spokane, Washington, way to go.
Yeah, that's all they sent. It's just all of these, there's like all these categories. 25 to 44, 12.7.
What's the geography of that area? Is Portland on one side and Spokane on the other side?
Spokane is almost in Idaho. If you're looking at the map, there it is.
Point to Portland, Oregon. That's Washington. Point to Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So so that's good. We kind of like have that little two-state quadrant hemmed in there.
I will figure these ratings out. I'll decipher these ratings. But good. I'm telling you, anytime the station sends ratings, and the ratings are like 10.9, 11.7, 12.1, that means you guys done good.
Yeah, let's give a round of applause. Spokane, way to go. Huzzah!
And thank you very much. So as we continue, let's track this.
Yes.
This might be the best ratings season that we've ever had.
Oh, I'm almost certain it is.
Number one, 12 plus, overall listeners in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Our best ratings book ever. Number one in Baltimore. Number one in Sacramento. Number one in
Greenville.
Number one in Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine.
Number one in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Number one in Spokane, Washington.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
That's a terrific rating.
Now, I don't know if we suck in the other markets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know.
I know our ratings are good in Wichita. They wouldn't be bringing a whole, bunch of us out there.
They should be due out shortly.
Oh, they haven't come out yet?
They're usually among the last.
That's because they're brought in by wagon train.
That's right. Well, listen, anyway, thank you. Thank you for supporting this show in Spokane, Washington on KJRB.
Huzzah!
Which for some reason they call K-Fan.
K-Fan.
Even though it's KJRB. KJRB.
Mm-hmm.
K-Jerb.
It's not like K-Guy.
No.
K-Guy.
That's in Portland.
K-Guy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just want you to know I'm on my way home, and I sure do enjoy the program this afternoon.
That's great. You just go click, click, click.
Thank you, Cletus.
Well, I mean, you know, the traffic, it gets my nerves so bad and everything.
Driving around in road rage and
click, click, click,
click,
click,
click,
click, click, click. Right, gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, God bless you.
Well, God bless you, too.
Thank you. Mm, click, click, click.
You know, God bless you.
I was going to go to Broadway shows. Click, click, click.
Yeah, you know, send them Broadway, Great White Way. You'll go down there to Times Square. They open neon sign up. Click, click, click.
She don't want me to be called a house crowd. Click, click, click.
Click, click, click.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm glad you're getting number one ratings in Spokane. It's good to see that we're actually calling you and number one ratings.
That's great. Yeah. Yes, thank
now,
you.
Now, only if they'll quit preempting you for supersonic basketball about every damn day. Every afternoon, you're constantly getting cut off for basketball.
Well, I imagine that's probably when the Seattle team is on the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
When they have an early start, right. Well, you know, what can I tell you?
We're still number one, and that's, that's the way it is, and we deal with that.
Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, you guys are kicking butt here in Spokane.
Wait a minute. Well, I got something coming up just for you right now.
Oh, there it is. You swallow.
Yeah, I always swallow, Mike.
Oh, that's right. One of these days, we'll have to get a Ziploc bag.
Spit.
I always swallow.
Just one of the little ones that they put, like, jewelry in. You know, just a tiny little one. And then a gift from you with your picture there. A gift from Don Geronimo.
And Mike Lum. Hello.
Yeah, I was just saying, you guys are kicking butt here in Spokane as far as the ratings.
Oh, you know, we forgot to ask Toya that.
Which?
She swallows.
Oh, my God. Wasn't part of our quiz.
No.
I'm sure she does.
Wouldn't be fair.
Go ask her, Rob.
Yeah, she doesn't need to come in here, Rob. Just go ask.
Just go ask her. Oh, well, what were you saying? Oh, Spokane, right. They're fantastic. Thank you for supporting the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Well,
people of Spokane are very excited.
Yes.
And rightly so. Thank you for that great support.
Uh-huh.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Don, Mr. Mike.
Right.
How you guys doing?
Fine.
Great.
Listen, I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you guys since 83, 84. Back in the, was it the Morning Zoo back then on
KVA? Right.
I just want to say you guys are great. I love you guys. Congratulations to going to New York.
Crap detector big time up on this one. Just waiting for there's a big shoe that's going to drop in a second.
Hold on. Rob is coming in with the answer from Toya.
Do you care to guess?
I think I know the answer.
Well, guess then.
I'll guess yes.
I'll guess no.
Buzz?
Yes.
No.
Never?
Go ask.
I bet she's tried it.
Ever is the answer now?
Yes.
Have you ever? Have you ever?
Ever.
Have you ever?
Forever and a day.
Have you ever gargled with the fountain of life?
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, so anyway, Mike was waiting for another shoe to drop here.
Yeah.
There's no shoe dropping.
Okay, is it all positive?
You guys are insane. You guys are great.
All right, thank you.
I came home sick today from work, and...
Oh, hold on. I got to break into this love fest again.
Yes.
Okay, now you guess she has?
Yes. Well, one time, yeah, probably.
Buzz?
I said yes.
Never.
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 Okay, let's give it a round of applause.
Can I throw a yes in there?
Why?
I'll be right back.
That's the question.
Why?
That is the new question for Toya. Why?
Very good. Well, it's pretty obvious.
Why? Well, why not?
You know, you probably think it's like, going down to the local shake shop.
Yeah, that's right.
Some find it totally distasteful.
Really?
Sure.
I've not heard that much. But it's mighty tasty.
Oh, God.
Super.
Oh, my God.
Super tasty. Well, listen, thank you, sir. If your call has nothing but love...
It's nothing but love. I came home sick from work. I fell asleep, took a nap, woke up, looked at the time, flipped on the radio, been listening to you guys the whole afternoon.
Well, God bless you, sir.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. Thank you.
New York, kick some ass, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, here is Robbie Speedbump.
And I quote, "It's gross. Why would I want hot kids in my mouth?"
There you go.
That's cute.
Wow.
Very cute.
Oh.
Wow, wow, wow.
She might be a keeper.
Absolutely.
She really, really might be a keeper. Go ask her if she'd like to try it, though.
I will.
Rob's beginning to break a sweat right now.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Jay, buddy.
Hey, congratulations on the New York gig.
Well, we'll wait and see how it goes, but thank you.
It's just another plea in our cave.
It's going to be great. I know it is. You guys are great. We've been listening to you for a long time. Congratulations.
Now she's coming in. Toya has made her way into the studio.
We'll have some wacky adventures in New York that we'll share with you.
Absolutely.
I certainly hope so.
Hi, Toya.
Hi.
Hi. Never?
No, never.
Why?
Because that's gross.
That's gross. That's gross. Like your answer with Rob. And your other question was going to be, would you ever try?
Yeah.
Was it?
Would you try?
Maybe like with my husband or something.
Someday?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. Would you try for me? I don't mean try for me personally.
Oh, my God.
I don't mean try for me personally.
But what do you want to do? Get a camera?
No. I just want her some weekend when she's out with her boyfriend.
Oh, I see.
To try. Would you just try it for me? I bet you'd like it.
I'll think about it.
Would you please? Would you try this weekend?
I don't have a boyfriend, Don.
You don't need a boyfriend, really.
Mrs. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here.
All right, well, think about it.
Okay, I'll think about it.
I'll tell you this. I bet whoever the lucky fella is, I bet he'd like it.
He probably would.
Oh, sure.
He'd probably like it.
Oh, yeah, all guys like that.
Have none of the 11 mentioned to you that they might like that?
Yes, they have, but I threaten physical violence upon them if they tried it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Wow. Hmm.
Okay, well, think about that.
Okay. I'll write that down in my little homework notebook.
That would please me greatly.
Okay.
If you would try that. To quote Elvis Presley.
In a very roundabout way, it would be a tremendous turn-on for you, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'd like to hear all about it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Toya. She never has. Imagine that.
Well, I mean, I think there are probably lots of women that have it.
Hello. Standards. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, buddy.
I got my check today for guessing Terry Perkins. You are the man.
Oh, you mean you were one of our cash winners on the show?
Yes, certainly I was. 2,500 bills.
Wow.
Well, enjoy it.
You know I will. I'm on the way to the racetrack right now.
Hey, there you go. There's another satisfied Don and Mike winner on his way to the racetrack.
Hey, you smell that smoke? That's the hole in his pocket.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
There it goes.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Yeah, I was just wondering about, Toya. I wondered whether she was a good girl, a bad girl, or a show-off.
Who, Toya?
Yeah.
In what regard?
Well, a good girl spits, a bad girl swallows.
Okay, all right. They cut you off before we got to that piece of wisdom of Mark Twain.
It's pretty good, though, that he's able to listen to the radio and work his internet connection at the same time.
Click, click, click. Hello.
Hey, guys, look, how you going?
Oh, this will be the last call we take. That, yes. I promise. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, can I tell you my experience I had the other day?
How long is it going to take?
Just 3 minutes.
No. 3 minutes, no.
Oh,
no.
1 minute.
Nope.
Okay, but
I'll give you 30 seconds.
You have 30 seconds,
hold
Dennis.
On.
30 seconds.
I'll give you 30 seconds.
Okay.
Hold on. Bobby, just get me any music, please. Yeah. Grab anything.
Dennis, you'll have 30 seconds to tell us your story, and then
okay.
That's it.
Okay. Are you ready? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Murphy, go.
I was in McDonald's on Tuesday enjoying my hamburger and strawberry sundae. And all of a sudden, I looked up and I saw a blonde-headed woman with blue eyes and a nice smile and only had one hand. And, oh, man, I fell in love, but I was too scared to go up and say hello.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, you had 5 seconds left over.
Oh, well, I couldn't have enough time.
And obviously you didn't have enough courage to approach the woman.
Well, but...
Has that always been your dream, to mate with a woman who, like yourself, only has one hand?
God, she was beautiful, but I was too chicken to go up to her and say, hello, how you doing?
Gotcha.
Another story of Dennis Murphy's failed romance.
Thank you, Dennis.
I love my shock.
Right, shocker. Thanks for that bulletin. We'll phone that in.
Okay. DennisMurphy.com.
Oh, right, there you go. There's his plug.
I'll be at Army Grill tonight.
Where will you be?
Army Grill on
Army,
Georgia
Army.
Avenue in LA.
Are you making an appearance there, or are you just having dinner there?
Oh, no, I'm picking my sister out because she helped me clean my room up.
So you notice he started the answer with no again, no, when you asked him a very direct question. So what it is you're just having dinner there, and now you're telling our entire radio audience that you're going to be there.
You're just announcing where you're going to be for dinner tonight? Why?
He likes to get recognized.
Sell some shirts, some CDs.
No, it's not that. No, he just wants to be recognized.
Right. Hey, I saw Aiden Donald for the shirt last night.
See? What?
You what? Something about McDonald's.
No, I sold $80 worth of shirts at Houston's last night.
You sold $80 worth of t-shirts at Houston's last night.
It's another evening, another restaurant in the life of Dennis Murphy.
Peddler. Super peddler.
For you, I will be a peon. Thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Mike.
What?
Enjoy New York.
Thank you.
A good gong.
Yes.
A Hubert Packard.
Hewlett-Packard, guys. Oh, for my stock thing this week,
I
huh?
I think you're safe.
Right, goodbye.
Sidewalk system.
All right. Bye.
Okay, hey, I'm in
line. Jeez. Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Good weekend.
Ay, ay, ay.
Eesh.
I'm going to take one more. I can't go on that. We got to cleanse our palate. Mm-hmm. Hello, Maya.
Yeah.
Maya, that's your name? Maya?
Yeah, M-Y-A.
Maya, right.
I'm up here in Spokane, Washington. Originally, I drive for a living. I do about 300 miles. And the KFAN radio station gets all around up here. Right now, I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that knowledge.
Excellent.
So you might actually try to find out whether or not you're number one. Also over here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Newport.
Right. And at all the lumberjack camps.
We'll make the call. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Goodbye. The ratings company is a little more sophisticated than that. You don't just pick up the phone and say, hello, Quarter Zone, Iowa?
the ratings boy going into the lumberjack camp.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I heard you talking about Kathy Lee hosting the Letterman show.
Yes, it was awful.
Yeah, well, gee, I'm glad I missed it. You know, I'm sorry I picked her because a lot of people thought that maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Death Gerard would get the honors.
What is he quoting? What tape is he quoting?
Those guys are fine!
Oh, fast time to resume. Okay, all right. You know, it clicked for a minute.
Hey.
Click, click, click.
Hey,
what?
Were you going to ask Bill Walton about the Kings? If he was going to come
on? That was one of my questions, yeah.
Really?
Yes, but
good thing you didn't.
Goddamn hippie was
come
in his teepee.
Huh?
He was in his teepee.
Uh-huh.
It's great because he's so tall, he can actually sleep in the teepee and wear it as a hat.
The Kings are playing horrible defensive basketball. Horrible.
All right, goodbye. Well, you must be calling from Sacramento.
Yes, he is.
Right. Go Kings. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
All right, and there they go.
There they are.
There's the fabulous people who will soon drive Toya over the edge. When we come back, we have that brand new low-budget Jeopardy next.
Hey.
Ah, God damn it, Rob.
What?
What's it doing?
Uncued.
Uncued.
I never take them out early.
Uncued.
Hmm.
Tape was uncued.
It's uncued, and therefore we couldn't play it when it was supposed to be there.
And that
just wasn't very nice.
I want to blame somebody. I don't want to blame myself. I want to blame Rob.
It's very frustrating. Rob's right there, so go ahead and blame him.
Rob, I'm blaming you because the cartridge is uncued.
I'm sorry, it won't happen again.
We're all talking like Buzz during Buzz's commercials.
We all like the way he does, and that's the way he does it.
Maybe that's why he gets so many commercials. We have so few commercials.
Why are we doing this impression? Because we're all jealous, because nobody wants us to do Bupkis.
Come on, Buzz, join in.
I'll try. I'll try to be more participative.
Thank you, Buzz. Now, here we go. Tape's cue. We'll be back.
This is the Dawn in my...